please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape. It's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Indeed, welcome to the program, episode 36G. Welcome to the program. As I said, 36G, and then I got distracted by me saying G money, and I literally, like a cat with a the laser, got distracted by my own voice and forgot what I was doing, and then reset. So, again, welcome. Episode 36G, Never Not Funny. We welcome you into the program. We also take the time now to welcome you into the program. What do we got? We got a heat wave here in California. We got what they're calling a heat wave. I'm going to, as we know from the plugs, I'm going to the Midwest next week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, Rosemont. Thursday, Bloomington. Friday, Peoria, Illinois. And I looked at my weather. I have an application on my phone that gives me the weather.
On the telephone in your house.
Right. No.
Wait, what? You're talking about your cellular telephone.
My cellular telephone.
Has what?
Yeah. Now, listen, I will go back to your telephone. There was a time you could call weather.
That's true. Yeah.
You would call the weather. I think it would cost you 25 cents, and my mother would be infuriated. Just look out the goddamn window. Why are you at 10 years old calling weather? Because it was fun.
I didn't know that cost money. I don't think I ever used it, but.
It would, you'd call weather and something else cost something. At any rate, my bit is that I have a weather app on my phone, and it looks to be high 50s, low 60s, and I purposely waited till April so that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, that sucks.
And a little bummed about that. I was hoping to get back to for some more warm spring-like.
Yeah, you would think
Midwest weather,
mid-April.
That's what I thought, but then I remembered that. There's that photo. It's on that baseball card, the Never Not Funny trading card. The photo of me at the White Sox game, which was opening day in 1979, which I want to say was back in the day where opening day was like the 15th of April, and it was freezing. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So, and that's back in 79 before any of before the ozone really opened up, and hit us hard with its rays. I don't know how it works. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
Well, is it going to be, as long as it's not raining?
It's going to be raining.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be raining. And what blows about that is I've got to drive from Chicago down to Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And as we discovered, as we drove up in a rainstorm, adds about another 40 minutes because you can't drive you can't drive 55. We know that.
No.
Actually, in this case, you probably will be driving off 55.
Yeah, but no more than that.
Right. And 10 and 2, head on a swivel. Mm-hmm. Keep everything moving forward. I took a pill this morning that got caught in my throat.
Oh, no.
And it's still kind of there. And
that's annoying.
It's annoying as shit. And I've had an additional Coke Zero this morning, hoping that the acidity and the carbonation would start fizzling away at the pill,
right,
and then make it go down. But it's still right there a little bit. Still right there.
Tiny pill?
No, it was a bigger pill. But here's the problem. I took three at once, which I can usually do. Actually, I took four. I took my four morning. And I knew the second that I swallowed the water, it's like, oh, that stuck. And then it's like, damn it. And then it's like right there. But that was, Jesus Christ, 2 hours ago.
That's great. Maybe it just is. Irritated the throat, and that's what you're feeling.
Like, that could be
it's actually gone, but the sensation of it is there because it's scraped against.
Yeah, and it's it was a prebiotic, the one that got stuck.
Yeah,
and it so it's got so once that gel disintegrates, for lack of a better word, then it's just powdery. So yeah. It's like that's the powder that's kind of stuck there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So then, and that is, I just kind of want it to go. So yeah, you're right. I don't think it's the pill itself is not stuck there anymore. It's that. And then, but it still is not a great sensation.
You need a lozenge maybe, or like a, just like.
Well, not a lozenge. It could help. That's up top. That's
yeah, what, but it's going to make stuff go down your throat on a continuous basis.
But this is a beverage would be, that's a waterfall.
But you know how there's those lozenges, they always say like, well, I guess that's not a lozenge. What do you need? You need whatever the thing is that, the one that coats is the only one you need. What's that?
Yeah, that's a lozenge.
Pepto?
Well, the coats, soothes, and the relieves is Pepto.
Yeah, Pepto as well.
But I mean, like so I don't know how this works because I assume that the liquid doesn't go in your lungs. But if you have a cough and you have a lozenge, it's supposed to cause you to not cough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's
coughing
true.
Coughing comes from lung, not stomach.
But sometimes coughing comes from scratchy throat.
Yeah.
Which is in between.
Which is what the lozenge is really trying to do.
Yeah. The lozenge is to soothe the throat. But you're right about a cough drop.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It does not. We are not meteorologists.
It's just, that's, yes. Maybe just drink a whole jar of honey.
Like all at once. Oh, that's going to thicken things up.
No, but it as it goes down, it'll.
I have to do a show here. I can't can't send Garen over to get a little plastic bear of honey. And
really, really
suck that down.
We would never do that on this program.
No, I would not do that. That is one thing I would not do because that's talking.
But we did make somebody eat coffee.
We made nobody do anything.
We suggested
he's a Canadian
strongly.
That knew that's how you fucking stay in this country now. That's right. How we do it. That's what we do. That's how ICE is doing it. You eat coffee, you get to stay.
Oh.
Well, that's easy.
Except the coffee costs 10 times as much because of tariffs.
Because of tariffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tariffs are gone, Matt. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday.
They're paused, and yet there's 10% on everything.
Stable genius.
They're paused. And then that awful woman that he has as his press secretary, who is just lies better than anybody's ever lied in the history of lying.
It's disturbing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. And how she talks to the media like she condescends to them. They're all smarter than you fucking dunce.
Yeah.
They all are smarter than you.
And they're honest, unlike you.
Right, and she goes, you all are clear that you haven't noticed the art of the deal. First of all, he didn't write the art of the deal. That guy, Tony, whatever his last name is, ghost wrote it. Or not even ghost wrote it. I believe his name's on it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And so he basically wrote it all because Trump's a moron. And
or lazy.
It's clear that he doesn't know the art of the deal. All of his businesses have gone bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So don't throw in a condescending tone at these reporters. You clearly have missed the art. You and the media have missed the art of the deal. No, he fucking caved. Because he's just going to be wishy-washy anyway. Oh, they don't like me this way? I'll go this way. Oh, they don't like me this way? I'll go this way. As long as he doesn't do it the month before the midterms, have your fucking games.
Okay, then. Quick question.
Yeah.
Matt Belknap, Never Not Funny.
Yes.
So if it's the art of the deal, what did he get?
Right. and then she would spin into something.
He got nothing. All he did was fucking make everything more volatile.
No, you know what he got? He got richer because they bought stocks when it was low.
But if the premise was you're doing this as a negotiation tactic, then what did you get in the negotiation?
He got zero.
Zero.
He got zero because, again, he is not a good negotiator. He's the dumbest man ever walked this planet. And again, if you're still listening to us and you supported him, this is not good business. Scram. Yeah, thanks. You know what? You know what? If you're still listening to us after this, that's the art of the fucking deal.
Hey, by the way, if you're still listening to us and you support him, and apparently you're rich now because you bought the dip. And so, you know, bump up to level 3. Bump up to tier 6.
Sure. Pump up the jams. Pump it up.
I don't know if anyone knows the answer to this because obviously we know no one's going to do anything about this. And like, it doesn't matter. It's all sort of hypothetical. But we know that insider trading is illegal.
Yes.
We know
in theory
that the Supreme Court said anything Trump does as an official act is not prosecutable, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But is posting on the social media app you own, hey, now's a great time to buy, and then pausing the things.
Is
the post an official act, or is that just a fucking guy posting on social media?
I think that's the fine line,
official act?
It's not.
There's no presidential business being done when he posts that.
Well, so they actually talked about this when he was on Twitter in his first term. He was making the argument that he is the president, so therefore whatever he posts is presidential.
Right.
And there were actual court cases and things to try to, like, people were trying to do things. Now, I don't think I think that's the least of our of the Supreme Court's worries.
But the president should not be on social media. He should
not
no
like that.
No president. Let's take social media out of it. Let's pretend that it's Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter should not be on the doing a press conference saying now's the time to buy stocks.
Right.
And then. Or now it's time to invest. And then 3 hours later, removing tariffs so that everybody gains money.
Right. Agreed. But again, it doesn't really matter because no one's going to do anything about it. It crossed my mind because everyone just kind of waves away everything by saying, well, the Supreme Court says he can't. It's like, they said that official acts can't be criminal.
You're kind of.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah. And the other thing is Congress isn't going to do anything about it because they've very carefully made the rules so that they can kind of do insider trading.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And by the way, I don't so much think Matt is splitting hairs as much as the whole concept is splitting hairs.
Sure.
Of,
well,
of the Supreme Court.
I'm not pretending. I'm not pretending that we got him, like hit the buzzer.
No,
like
fair
John
enough.
Oliver.
And you're not splitting hairs. You're splitting like broomsticks. I mean, they're still conceptually too close for the current. Environment to do anything about,
right?
Unfortunately,
but what about other people? Like, what about the people who took the tip? You know, not people who saw the post, but clearly he told people in his circle,
right?
Go buy stocks now. I'm about to do this.
Although, did you see the one guy that the head of trade did not know it? He discovered it in real time at a congressional hearing.
Perfect.
And it, like, apparently, he reacted and then. Democratic, and I forget what level they were at talking to him, but like, we just saw you get that information in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who's running the, you know, who's in charge? You go, the president's in charge.
Yeah.
And clearly, like, he was, anyway, it's a fucking mess. But somebody pointed out to what you were saying, Martha Stewart went to prison for less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
many people have gone to prison for manipulating the stock market in less. Dramatic. I mean, this is what is one of the top 10 biggest gains in the history of the stock market.
But a gain that he caused it to drop.
Well, he learned it from Musk because Musk was playing those games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that.
Yeah, he would do that shit about Tesla. He would like do something stupid. Tesla would drop. And then he would, you know, go out on social media and say, like, hey, you should invest in Tesla and then turn around and cut 1,000 jobs so that the stock would go up.
Yeah. Or he, the big one was he said, we were thinking of going private, you know, and so that was the thing I think he was taken to court on.
Yeah.
Was that was considered stock manipulation because he never had any intention of doing that.
He never did.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should give that guy the benefit of the doubt. He seems like he's on the up and up.
He's a smart guy. Smart sharp guy. And right to the point. And there's no question about that. He seems like a good guy. Although, a little MIA this week. He's been pushed aside, apparently.
Mm.
And because he said he had the balls, I guess, to say one negative thing about the tariffs. Mm. And so they just.
Right. And he was feuding with Navarro.
Who's a moron as well.
Terrible, but also, you know. Calling him a slur is just insane.
Oh, did he really? I didn't see that. I did not see that.
Yeah, if you'll, should I say what he basically took his last name and turned it into a slur for mentally challenged people.
Oh.
And called him that. Like, if you can imagine what a schoolyard bully would do to his last name.
Who did the slur?
Musk.
Oh, okay.
He posted it on Twitter.
He called him a Navarro the Blanco?
The R word, yeah.
With an O at the end?
Yep. Pretty good.
You know, here's the thing. There's a clip on the internet, and it infuriates me, of Glory Days, the pilot I did for VH1, with Colin Hay. And Colin Hay says to me as he's doing a song, one of the premises, you know, hey, we're asking everybody to write a new theme song, you know, and so he's, you know, on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so Colin is doing it, and he goes, with Jimmy Pardo. I don't know what rhymes with Pardo, and I went, retardo? And, of course, it kills, and it's in the pilot, and it was 24 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at that clip, remember, that happened 24 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't like that it's on the internet.
But you pointed out recently, that word has now come back, and somehow it seems like a lot of people are just acting like, yeah, that's cool. Like, I don't know how – it's so strange how things like that happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's back.
Oh, yeah, you can show that pilot again.
You know, shot that thing around, right? Look at it. We're very now. Look at the words. Yeah, it that was a good show. That was with Pat Finn's company. Hey, by the way, I never mentioned this. They put up the pilot for Funny Money on Wink. Wink Martindale has Wink's Vault on YouTube, and they put up found, you know, old pilots, old game shows that people might have had on VHS or whatever. And they put up the pilot for Funny Money, and they asked me to do an intro for it.
Nice.
So I did the intro. Pat Finn has done those as Wink and Todd Newton, another game show host. That were Graham Elwood did one for Cram. And you kind of just give like a little 3 to 5 minute. Some are shorter. I don't think any are longer. A little backstory about what they're about to see. And so go check that out. It's that was shot in 2012. So that is 23 years ago.
What?
No, 2012. 2002.
Yeah.
2002 we shot the pilot. Yeah. Before Christmas in 2002. And then 2003 we got picked up and then went to series. Then, of course, we got canceled because Big Laughs Gets Big Bucks gets canceled. but it was I had not seen it in a while. And there's a lot of funny on there. A lot of funny on that pilot. And
who were the comics?
It was John Henton, the guy from Living Single, I want to say was the show.
Yeah.
Is that the one he was on?
Sounds right.
Wendy Liebman and Gary Valentine.
Oh.
And they were all great. There was some material that is a little dated.
Yeah.
A little dated. But it's also got the famous line in there where John Henton and I lived in the same building. When Pat and I, when we lived in North Hollywood, John Henton, while he was a sitcom star, he still was living in his I Just Moved Here apartment and would park his Maserati. or Lamborghini, one of the two.
Wait, was this the same apartment building where was it? Who was it? Like Ice-T or somebody had like a crash pad?
No, that was MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer had a I'm going through tax trouble, but I'm living. But this is how I'm living. Sort of place.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, this was he either had a. It was either a Lamborghini or a Maserati, but it was some high-end car. And he would park it down there next to my Pontiac Sunfire. And so I would see him all the time. Yeah. And we had worked together on the road.
Yeah.
And he was a really nice guy. But I mean, I never really saw – I didn't see him a lot because he was busy working on a sitcom. And then he got in a horrible car accident.
Oh, no.
And it kind of screwed him up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which is kind of, I think that's why you don't see him anymore. Like he,
that's sad.
It was always funny to hear the car coming down the street. the gate would open, he would park it, and then he would go up to what I have to assume, based on what I was living in, a sad apartment in the valley.
Was he from somewhere else and was just kind of not here permanently, or was he like... You know, like, was he from Chicago or something?
He did move. Eventually, he was the, like we moved in February of 1995. My guess is he stayed until like November when his lease was up. That's my guess.
Okay.
And I'm guessing like in all that, like that's when, oh, shit, I re-upped my lease, but I'm a star now. I don't need to live here.
Yeah.
And then once that lease was, he bailed. Yeah. That's my guess. Although, don't you go month to month here?
Depends.
Once the lease is over,
that's how we do it. So year lease, so you don't have any drifters, and then and then month to month after that.
We re-upped. Pat and I re-upped because I went down there and I threatened the guy. This is how much we were paying, by the way. We were paying $750 for a 2-bedroom.
Wow.
And I went to the guy and said, "We're going to leave unless you lower our rent."
Wow.
And they lowered it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because there were so many. I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah.
There were so many openings in the area. He knew that, he can go across the street and probably get $650. So they lowered it, I think, to $700. And that seemed enough for us to not. Well, we're not really moving. And by the way, I got news for you. Had he said no, we would have stayed. Like, nothing would have changed.
Yeah.
Nobody likes moving.
No, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Expensive. It's a hassle. Although, this nice. The one nice thing about moving is you go through all your shit and you're like, do I really need this?
That is the nice thing.
Yeah.
There is a house, and we've all seen this here in Los Angeles, and I imagine all over the country it's the same, but somebody, a neighbor of ours, their parents lived next door. And the parents lived next door for 50 years, mm-hmm. you know, maybe even more, six, however long they lived there. And then they, I don't know what happened, but the two of them moved. And so the house is now, I want to say a flipper is has bought the house, but they are going through where they brought the dumpster. And they're, and so when you see a dumpster full of stuff, man, that is, and by the way, this is a small, of all the houses on the block, it's the smallest. Mm. It's like, all I can think of is the smallest house filled that dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. So talk about getting a junk you don't need. And then they're putting stuff by the, like a chair that clearly has not been washed since 1978. Oof. Like it's just,
yeah,
you know. Oh,
my dad's going through, you know, my dad's moving out of the house that he's lived in for almost 50 years.
And that's where the cave is.
Yeah. And he said they filled three full size dumpsters.
Unbelievable. I mean, that is.
It's crazy.
And what I'm not asking you to reveal what your dad's paying for that.
Yeah.
What does that cost?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't. You know, when my mother, and this is going to sound weird, I got very lucky in that she either had not unpacked some things yet,
yeah,
or she didn't accumulate much since she was here.
Well, she had the big move from the house that she lived in,
yes,
for years,
that one
in
was
Chicago
the,
to here, and that's probably cleared out a lot of stuff at that point.
Yeah,
right?
This one, yeah. You know, you would help me, and otherwise it was just me and Danielle getting rid of it, and it took a week.
Yeah,
but it still was like, it wasn't that I didn't have to rent the dumpster. I did have to have those guys come the 1-800-JUNK or whatever, they came and got rid of a bunch of stuff. But even as easy as that was, it was a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine what a house of 50 years, you know, a house of ill repute.
Well, it's also got, you know, it's a house and it's got there are two barns. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of space for things to accumulate.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't just like a single, you know, it's not a big house, but it's big enough, and there's a garage and all that stuff. So yeah, there was just a lot of places for things to pile up. And my dad, like me, is a bit of a pack rat. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, it's like, I'm going through all this stuff. It's like, here's this, all these like, you know, Burger King cups that I thought were going to be worth something someday.
Gosh.
I'm like, I have that same tendency, but I'm trying not to be like that, because it's like none of that's going to ever be worth anything. Just let it go.
Well, even if that there's some stuff that I've had since my mom kept from my childhood that I've kept from my childhood, and it's in a box in the garage.
Yeah.
So if it's just in a box in the garage, what are we doing here, Nicholas? Like, what is it? Is it so that when I die and Oliver goes through the boxes, he gets to see that and then go, hey, that's pretty cool. My dad had this dumpster, which right. is kind of all that would happen.
Unless Oliver, in this case, or whoever is the one going through it, also has the illness of, this is going to be worth something. I got to
get it. But I'm not talking about stuff that's worth anything.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a drawing that you made an art project, that sort of thing. That you
elementary school award.
To. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Stuff that just isn't.
Well, we all did that with our kids, right? Like, not all, you guys don't have kids, but you know, like.
Of course.
There's always the boxes of, like, these are going to be, it's so nice to have.
But you're never going to look at it.
No.
And
then in all these cases, it's like, I sometimes, every once in a while, because my mom very nicely at some point in my life, probably like when I turned 21 or something, she like basically made an album of like stuff like that. Like she basically went through it all, probably tossed most of it, but then put a select few things so that I can go through and be like, oh, here's a thing that you drew in kindergarten or whatever. And that's kind of nice. Sometimes it's kind of fun to go through and look at that stuff. But in all these cases, it's just like what you're not factoring in is the work involved. Like, even if something is going to someday be worth something, you still have to put in the effort to, like, going back to the like collectible cups or whatever. Like, you still, in 50 years, you're going to be like, great, now this is worth something. But now you got to find the person who wants it. You got to like put in the, and some people like doing that stuff. There's just people who, that's their whole like hobby, or that's like they create a little side hustle of eBaying stuff or whatever they're doing. I don't like doing that stuff. So I'm not like, I should have known that about myself when I started holding on to all this useless crap.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I had a bunch of Star Wars stuff. I'm like, first of all, the Star Wars stuff is worthless because they manufactured so much of it. This isn't the original stuff, but like the second wave of collectible stuff in the 90s. And
the buff ones?
Yeah, it was starting with those, yeah. But then from that point until now, they have never stopped making Star Wars toys. And they made a zillion of them, and everybody who wanted them got them, and everyone held on to them thinking, oh, they're going to be worth something like the original stuff. No, the original stuff's worth something because people didn't hold on to it. So the people who did have something valuable.
That is, and we've talked about it before, it's the same with the Kiss action figures.
Yeah.
The ones from the 70s, people threw away because that's what you did. You threw your toys away when you were done with them.
Yeah.
You didn't think, I'm going to hang on to the Ace Frehley doll because in 30 years it'll be worth $5,000.
Yeah.
So then when the new ones came out, my brother and a bunch of other people I'm going to keep them in this, and I'm going to save it and put it in a box, and they'll be worth something. Well, they won't be because they made 5 million of them.
Right.
And to your point, everybody that has it has it.
And with all of this stuff, Kiss or Star Wars or whatever the thing is, there is a sort of expiration date on people giving a shit, right? Like there's a peak, and no one's ever going to exactly know what the peak is. You'll only be able to go back, look backwards and say, well, that was the peak, it turns out.
Right.
Because like eventually everyone who cared about Kiss is going to die, and eventually everyone who cared about Star Wars is going to die. And so no one will care. No one will place any value in that stuff anymore.
Well, it's I can assure you, the people in Kiss are going to die.
Well, that's the first thing that's going to happen, and that might create a little bump on the value of those things.
Well, let's hope so, because I've got a garage full of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I do have enough in there that it's like it's one of the things. It's like I'm with you. I have the set that you got the Kiss bobbleheads from the LA Kiss football.
Yeah,
and those are a little rarer because they did not go wide. But I don't have the energy to put them on eBay, take the photo and put it on me. To me, you don't have the energy to do dumpster.
Yeah,
like you know what? These are worthless to me. Here we go.
Yeah.
Is it worth me putting them on eBay to make $15? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
That's a hassle.
And also, it's not just the effort of putting it out there. Like, to really make money, you almost have to, like, market it. You know what I mean? Like,
I marketed it.
Because you're just, like, throwing it out there. It's like, who's going to find? Like, are the people who you can't count on everyone who cares to be looking for that all the time. So it's almost like you need, wait a minute. What you need is a platform like a podcast to promote. Hey, all of you could even sign them. Jimmy Pardo signed Kiss bobbleheads.
Wouldn't that devalue them?
No, because it's part of the show's history.
Come on in.
Going to the games. You know, we talked about it a lot when you were season ticket holder. And when I won that television that time.
I remember that. Yeah. That fantastic. TCL?
Yeah.
It looks like those are going for about $100,
$150
on eBay.
For the set? But they're going for
each.
That. Each.
The Gene Simmons one, is he going like this or whatever?
Yeah.
You better.
There's like more than a few that are going, that are listed at 150.
Well, you know what I do, Garen? I go on there, I list the whole set for $100. And I get rid of it.
But you might be leaving a little bit on the table.
I don't give a shit. Get it out of my life.
Cutting those guys off at the knees.
Tommy Thayer.
Right?
He's listed at 100.
Nobody's buying that. Nobody's buying any of those, by the way.
Listings?
What's that?
Can you look at completed listings?
Yeah. I was going to do that, but I have to.
But turns out no one's bought one yet.
There's
no tab for that. It's like everyone's listening at 150 and there are zero buyers.
So this is a bit of a parallel thought, but the other day we're going through the pots in the kitchen, and I realized, and I was talking to Irma about it because we were talking about new pots, whatever.
You mean Irma?
Fuck you.
you do that to
You're
us.
The one who established it.
You established
Be
that.
Consistent.
We're just asking for consistency, dude.
Okay, Jimmy.
Nope.
That's what it is in Indonesian, Jimmy.
But we're not there, dude. We're not
also,
there.
He's not from, and by the way, it's Indonesia.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Come on. We're just, I mean, he's very clear. We're asking for consistency.
Yeah, all right. Anyway. We were talking about the pots, and I realized that two of the pots that I have were the pots that my mom gave me when I went to college, because she got new pots, so she gave me the old pots, which means they're 40 years old.
Right.
Still perfect condition.
I mean, at least. Like, do you know when she got them?
Probably a decade before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and they're like stainless steel. They're not very heavy, like that kind of stuff. But they work great, and it was kind of a nice feeling. These are the pots that my mom probably made me dinner on, mm-hmm. and I still have them.
Yeah,
that is nice.
Yeah,
dumpster. So clear that out. There's no way Irma wants any of that in the house. That's my AI version of it. You can have a call from Irma.
Irma.
That's like the that reminds me of when Elise and I were in college, that you could like you could call a phone number to get like, I don't know if it was your grades or something. There's some automated system at the college that you could dial up and it would give you information about whatever. And it would pronounce her name Allies.
Allies.
And so if you called it, it would say, "Hello, Allies." And we all thought that was really funny.
That's the early AI.
Yeah.
The early...
Clunky.
Clunky. Clunky AI. That's a nickname for somebody. I don't know who. But it would be certainly a fun nickname for somebody. Hey, we've got some... Let's deal with this.
The mail is here. The mail is here. The mail is here. 69.
Up top,
my brother. The mail is here.
Mm-hmm. Garrett sucks. Hey, this comes to us. Well, I'm not going to say what it says. It's well, there's a lot of stickers on here. It says Galactic Snacks.
Oh, boy.
Galactic Snacks. Now, I don't know who sent this.
Could it be Blue Milk?
Is it? Oh,
there might be a, you know, if there was an email, I didn't see it. If there's a
Nerf herder jerky,
there you go.
This is Galactic Snack. Oh, there seems to be some sort of paperwork on top here. Here we go. Built to Jimmy Pardo. What?
So so whoever sent this ordered it and had it shipped directly.
Correct. Okay. No, it does say build to and ship to.
We're getting billed for this shit?
I guess I'm getting billed for this. This is
cash on delivery?
Oh, my goodness. We've got, heavens. You know what? I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm going to put my hand in and grab one thing.
Okay.
Wow.
Sounds like there's a lot of things.
There's, and I don't want to see what I'm. Okay, here it is. I've got that. What does that say?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we got double stuffed Neapolitan.
Ooh.
These are Oreos. This Oreos. Whole box is Oreos?
It is, there's, there's also a Fanta Zero Sugar mystery flavor. Some soda.
Boy.
But this is the, for our purposes, there's an Oreo here, double stuff, Neapolitan. So, but
there's no way of, there's no message from the sender. This is just a sort of anonymous gift.
That is correct. There was no message from this. Again, there may be an email to fanclub@jimmypardo.com.
You want to check the date on these before we...
You know what? I trust this guy.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm just kind of curious. It doesn't look... Well, it's hard to say. It looks slightly rumpled, I would say.
No.
Ooh, it smells good, though. Yeah, that strawberry scent very strongly.
Here we go, Garen.
Okay, here we go. Oh, Garen, hold on. The guest is here. So,
oh, bad timing, Garen. Hmm.
Now I'm gonna buzz this guest in. You eat that cookie later. Work first, then play.
Okay, that thing is still stuck in my throat.
Oh no!
It is now the cookie is somewhat stuck in my throat. Is this our guest telling me that he's here? Garen, they're in the restroom.
Hmm. Oh,
there is an aroma.
Well, it's the strawberry.
It's not bad.
No, it's good. It's Neapolitan.
It's not just strawberry.
So
it's also got the
strawberry is the odor.
It's half vanilla, half strawberry, and then the cookie itself is the chocolate.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I presume that's their premise.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think it's Post Malone good, but it's good.
I wouldn't if I was at a party and these were on a tray.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say when I'm at Target. Next, I need to get some more of those Neapolitan.
Right.
I would have had my fill at that party.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Post Malones, if I'm buying Oreos,
you see it, you buy it.
I might get no more mail. Yeah. We're already in the middle of this one.
That was UPS, not the guest.
Oh, but I thought you just said the guest.
But no, that I got a text from.
Probably let him in.
They probably let him in. So, Garen, why don't you wait in the hallway? Yeah,
he's in the bathroom.
In the restroom.
Paul McCartney and Wings, that.
Let him in. Oh,
no, that's a song.
Gonna let him. Oh, wait. I'm singing I'm singing that shitty John Travolta song.
Oh, no, I'm going, someone's knocking at the door.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door and let him in.
All right. Well, thank you to whoever sent these from Galactic Snacks.
Thank you very much.
And again, there's more taste testing to be done in there.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to
do it all at once.
Not going to do it all at once.
Crazy. Well, maybe we should do a bonus episode. This is just snacks.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And then people who don't like us eating on the mic and just not listen to that episode.
That's 131 gram. That one comes from Australia.
Oh.
That's an Australian Oreo.
Oh.
Good day.
I'm going to put an X next. I'm going to put a check next to that. I'm going to keep a little. I'm going to keep tab here. Which ones we've tried?
Okay. I like you have a little menu of them.
I'm not going to tell you what else we have. I'm going to let the rest be a surprise for you guys. But know this: there is they're two coming from China.
Oh boy! glad we got them before the you tariffs know, hit.
I got a Japanese thing here. I got a couple of China, Australia, and Korea. So a lot of
Japan and Korea usually is pretty exciting.
Well, they like the Asian flavor.
That
I mean, the Asians like their flavors. Is what I meant to say.
I don't know if this person ordered these before we did that other one, but that makes me think we're going to get those matcha, the ones that we had from Kyle Ryan.
You mean in here?
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
No. Oh, really? There's no overlap. Great. No. That's awesome.
There's no overlap in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, cool.
In fact, you'll be happy with most of them.
Oh, great. Yeah, because I don't want any more matcha.
No, that sucked.
I'm good on that.
All right, what's this? This just arrived. This is hot off the presses, this one.
Yeah. I kicked that other one to the curb. There was one other.
Yeah, but this
is going to have to wait.
This one was hot off the presses. Oh, you know what? Somebody...
Somebody sent us a paper.
All right, something's happened here. Something's happened on this program.
We might need to put a stop to this.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, is this soda?
Yeah, but...
Oh, Jesus.
This is...
We're getting some Diet Moxie?
We did sort of passive-aggressively put out the call for that, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Dear Jimmy, Matt, Elliot, and Garen, and the guests, greetings from Bonnie, Scotland.
Oh.
Cue appealing accent. Enjoy another home. Enjoy another taste test made from real grinders. Nope, I'm sorry. Made from real girders. Honest from Mac
girders.
All right. So these are from. This is from Scotland.
Now that's not my sort of standard understanding of what a girder is. Is that it's iron? So that can't be what's happening.
Well, this says iron.
Oh wow. Iron brew. Iron.
Huh.
Iron brew.
Hold that up so they can see that it says iron brew.
Yeah. All right, that's a can of what appears to be some sort of soda.
Yeah.
I think we might need to refrigerate these.
No, yeah, we're not going to taste test this today, but this is going to be refrigerated. It even says here, it doesn't say to serve cold, serve cool. excuse me. If you had to take a guess on how many calories are in one can of this, take a guess.
It's from Scotland?
If I may, Bonnie Scotland, yeah.
I'm going to say 460.
Okay.
I'm going to say three times that. I'm going to say 1,200.
Well, you guys are very high.
Okay.
I only bring it up because it's 62.
Oh.
Very accurate.
Oh, this is a very accurate. Specific
62 calories.
They burned some of it and they did the spectrograph and figured it out.
That makes me realize that it seems like in America we round those to 10, don't we? And you don't really ever see
it. That's why I brought it up. Yeah, you don't see a 2.
Okay. You see a 140, you see a...
Carbonated flavored soft drink, iron brew, original and best. They really want you to know that this plastic on the outside was made from 100% recycled plastic. It's mentioned several times on here.
Cool. Wait, what is...
cool is how you serve this.
Oh, sorry. I think I was trying to cool it down so we could drink some. Wait, do we know what the flavor is?
No. And we won't know until we taste test it, because I don't want to open this plastic that I've been hearing so much about.
I fear that just like the Moxie, the orange is making me think it's going to be orange flavored, and then it will not be at all orange.
I can't. Well, we'll check.
I'll tell you this much: the packaging makes it look like batteries, which I do not think is a good sign.
Well, again, it's made from girders.
Yeah,
Garen, will you put this in the fridge? This is a girder based beverage made from actual iron. That's from Scotland. Not today. You got to serve them cool.
So did they recycle the girders into make them into soda?
I know that plastic.
Yeah. So they're really just big on that.
My apologies.
Sorry.
All right. So that's that one. All right. So
is there a...
here's that Fanta that I do. But that's not Fanta. That's
Mountain Dew Zero. Oh, that's got Garen written all over it.
They may have... Oh, whoever ordered this, they sent they shipped the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
They didn't send the Fanta. They sent the Mountain Dew Zero. I did ask for this. I did ask for Mountain Dew Zero. Garen, since you're up, why don't you put this in the fridge as well? That's my running joke with Oliver, by the way, when he clearly is not up.
Yeah.
There you go. And all right. So thank you for that. We have one more, but I don't feel like.
Like, I think now we're being rude.
They're gonna wait until. Are we? He went to the bathroom.
No.
It's on him.
Well, I mean, that was 5 minutes ago. I think he's probably done. I would hope.
I don't know. Maybe he's got something caught in his throat. You don't know what's going on with the world.
It's possible.
All right. Everything all right out there, Garen?
Yeah.
How'd that go? JB Ball?
Yeah.
That was here?
Yes.
All right. Well, I know UPS was here. A lot of initials came to the door at once. UPS, JB Ball.
It was a good. I watched that Mid-Century Modern on Garen's recommendation, and there's a good joke, a good UPS joke on that one.
But where does that land live?
Hulu?
Hulu, I think.
Hulu. Hulu.
You know what? Danielle wants to watch something over there, so we may.
Get back in.
We were talking off the air about how we Elliot and I both kind of went through our subscriptions and purged some things.
Yeah.
Hulu being one of them, because I realized I wasn't watching anything, but then something is coming out that Danielle wants to watch. We may pull the 1 month trial and knock them all out, and so maybe we'll be able to finally watch this program.
You will like it. It's very, as Garen described, very old school multicam. It looks like they filmed it on the Golden Girls set.
It's very similar, the
living room layout is identical to the Golden
Girls. What if I didn't like the Golden Girls?
Well, then
is that
going to
affect
this.
My life at all? I'm not in that camp. I thought it was like just this. Fine. I didn't think it was.
It's basically the Golden Girls with three gay guys.
I'm out. I don't want to see men, and I don't want to see gay men.
Okay.
I'm completely out on this.
But you like Nathan Lane, right?
I love Nathan Lane. I'll watch anything he does.
Well, then watch this.
Except this.
he's great at it.
Of course he is.
Yeah, he's great
at it. As we talked about, too, there's not a thing he's bad in.
I wish I could have seen him in The Producers. That would have been fun. I wish I had given a shit back then when that was happening, because I didn't at all. I didn't care about Broadway or anything.
Right. Well, it wasn't. That would have been on Broadway. We would have had to see that in New York.
Yeah.
We got Jason Alexander and Martin Short.
Which was also amazing.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's also great. Yeah.
I saw
that on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Nope, that's a lie. Saw that the day. Dig this. It's all full circle. We'll take a break. Saw that the night Funny Money premiered.
Oh, wow.
And so we had already had the tickets.
That's fun.
Did not know that was going to be the night the show premiered. And then it was. Go home and then get on the internet. How did the world like the program? Wah, wah. The game show nerd did not care for us, as we talked about. All right, listen, let's take a break. JB Ball is here. We've got Oliver's got the Oliver. Elliot's got the con. The letter is G, horror and sci-fi. I go third, which is good because I only have three on my list.
Mm.
So that's going to I think it's going to pay big dividends.
It might, because like I was saying, I definitely feel like there are multiple solid ones, but no clear front runner in my mind.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Something just flew in my eye. I don't know what it was.
Is it that pill from your throat?
Could have been that I coughed. It was in the air that blew right back into my face.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Hey gang, Matt here with some dates for you. JB Ball is on Instagram at Ball4President. That's Ball, then the number 4 president. Also, his new comedy special is on YouTube. It's free to watch on YouTube. It's called Jesus in the Crack House. And go check it out. You have to watch it to find out what that means. So do that, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. He's enjoyable. Jimmy Pardo is doing stand-up comedy, also enjoyable. He's at Zany's in Rosemont, Chicagoland area, April 16th. Hey, that's next week. And then on the 17th of April, he's at the Comedy Acad in Bloomington. That show is sold out, unfortunately, but maybe they could squeeze you in. You can call them and find out. April 18th, the Jukebox in Peoria, Illinois. And then May 7th, the Bug in Denver. May 8th, the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase in Michigan. May 9th, the Hashtag Comedy Theater in Columbus. And then Texas and Salt Lake City at the end of the month. Elliot Hochberg is doing musical improv at the HIT. You can go to thehitcomedy.com to find out more. It's April 19th, and it's a pay what you want show, so do that. And finally, on April 21st, I think that's next week, as you hear this, it'll be next week. That is our next live stream for Tiers 2 and Higher. 10:30 a.m. Pacific time is when we will start live streaming. We're going to have a fun fan favorite guest on board, and you can listen live, even in the breaks, hear what we're talking about when we're not recording. So that'll be fun. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program, episode 36G, as we discussed earlier. JB Ball has joined us. He patiently waited out in the hallway.
For so long. For all 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's all it was, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't
was
very long.
And then we didn't even offer him an Oreo.
He doesn't want an Oreo.
You don't?
I get, you know what? It's a racial thing for me. I just try to avoid it. No, I'm joking.
This is Neapolitan, so you got a little flavor of everything in there.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
Do you want a Neapolitan Oreo?
A Neapolitan? No.
It but looks you like got, you don't eat cookies.
My body or sugar is of deceivingly any kind. Athletic. I eat like a monster.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, now I'm even more.
I promise you I'm dying early. Like, that's for sure a thing. People are going to be like, really? They're going to be look in his stomach.
You walked in and you did not look anything like the photograph I was sent.
Okay.
Which may be the photograph's fault, but okay. I did not expect this buff guy walking in.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got sent a white guy. I am black. I didn't know how off the photo was.
Yeah, it's a completely different
the
JB
exposure
Bush.
Yeah, no,
I've
strange.
Definitely gotten bigger over the last year. Like, it's like a conscious thing every year. Like, I'm one of those people, I really will set news resolutions and I like follow through on them. And then one of them last year was like, I wanted to fill out more physically. And so I was just committed to lifting and working out in the whole nine. And now I'm buying new clothes and my body's transformed and people are making comments, blah, blah, blah. I got hit on the other day walking down the street, which is a first for me. Like, I've been hit on after shows. That's fine, right? Because you're showcasing a talent. But to just be existing in life, right? I was just walking to Ralph's and then two dudes were walking by and the guy just, nice body, dude. Good job. And I was just like, was that? Wait.
Yeah.
What was that?
Love it.
What was that? Yeah. What was interesting about it was, one guy was the one giving me the compliment. The other guy looked totally weirded out that he was giving
he didn't
the
like
compliment.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, what did I just cause? I was just
you broke up a couple.
I was just walking.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to put these guns away. This is great.
But guns, it's very guns meaning the arms, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Wasn't a black man going into a produce shop with
a gun. No. No need. I think I could just walk in and intimidate enough bare hands. You're working in produce. What am I?
Not anymore. You have to walk in. Your handsomeness puts them on their back on their heels.
Hilarious.
What a joy. And that was it. You didn't talk to these guys any further.
I didn't say a single word. We literally walked by. That's the whole exchange.
That's
it's still in my head.
Of course
I was
it
so thrown off.
You were stunned silent by it.
I really was.
Yeah.
I really was. Paralyzed.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Thanks, man.
Right? I wanted to hit on you the second you walked in here.
Look, it's new for me. I'm not I don't operate in the space of like my attractiveness is what people are noticing. That doesn't even occur to me. Because I grew up like ugly duckling, dude. Like I was like.
Nobody believes
really?
That.
Oh, I promise you.
No.
I promise you. I show you the pictures from my childhood. You'll be like, this kid was sick. He was malnourished. It's wild, man.
Where did you grow up?
Tampa, Florida. Yeah. So it's one of those things where I'm like the one comic defending Florida man. You know, if you could
but you're not
that.
Really.
I'm not defending Florida man, but I'm defending the argument against Florida man. Like I actually think the argument's absurd because people don't know how it came to be. Right. So the idea that Florida is where all these ridiculous things happen is not inaccurate. It's what's inaccurate is that you're implying that they don't happen where you live, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The part that's inaccurate.
But they seem to happen there more often.
False. So the way that works is.
Oh, Jesus. Right.
Well,
first of all, you drop the fucking attitude.
I'm just being real with you, man.
You come at the host with that, too. That ain't going to fly.
This is the comment.
This ain't the produce section, buddy.
I hear you, dude. I hear you. Well, for you, the guns. All right. But for the produce, I'm kidding. No. So. What ended up happening is there's this thing called the Sunshine State laws. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know about this, right?
Yes, of course. I do.
Yeah. So what ends up happening in Florida is everything that goes to court is public knowledge. So on a slow news day, a bunch of different companies are trained to, well, read the cases in Florida, see what went to court. And if we have nothing to print, let's print one of the ridiculous things that people went to court over because it's public knowledge. Yeah. And it's super easy to Google it on their site. Right. But for other states, a lot of other states don't have that law. And even the ones that do, it's more difficult to search it. So
right.
In Florida, it's easier to come across those stories. Mm-hmm. But it's not that it's happening more there than somewhere else. Every place is crazy.
Of course.
But right? JB, that's always my argument.
You got to admit that there's one thing that Florida has that most other places don't have, and that's gators.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, I'm not going to see, like, guy lost his dog to a gator in Iowa. Like, that's for sure not going to happen. Yeah. But, like, I do think you're going to find a guy caught molesting his haystack in Iowa.
Sure.
For me, those are unequal.
Yeah. Similar, sure. different thing, different flavors of crazy.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I think equally we're like, why are they voters? I think that's more like where we're at.
Why are they voters?
That is the big question.
Well, we know why. So
yeah.
They could fuck up their own lives.
Yeah.
When we did the GB, the weekly awards, the pilot edited for TBS, mm-hmm. we wanted to do a thing. It was Florida or Russia or whatever it was.
Totally.
And you had to guess, you know, where did this take place? It wasn't Russia, but I forget what it was. But we learned about that Sunshine Law, and it was like, well, that kind of cuts this premise out.
Totally.
In that it's, oh, that's why. It doesn't happen more in Florida. It's more accessible.
Yeah. And my other argument was always like the way they will frame Florida is as if all people from Florida are supportive of Florida Man.
Right.
We're reacting the same way you're reacting. Right. We're like, who the hell was this guy? And what's he like? right. Well, like, this dude's crazy.
Yeah.
But we're not identifying like, glad he followed his dreams. That was great. He finally got to him.
You know? Now, what about St. Pete? You guys still have that rivalry?
St. Pete's right over there. So
you mad at it?
No, this is the way I explain it, right? So a lot of people don't understand the difference between Tampa and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a tri-city area. It's just never explained that way. So Tampa Bay is Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, right? Tampa is just Tampa. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is anytime you're playing one of the sports teams, you're not playing the Tampa something. You're playing the Tampa Bay something,
right?
Mm-hmm. So the Rays, which I'm a diehard Rays fan, they play out of St. Pete, which is still Tampa Bay. But people don't understand it. So they'll come visit Tampa and then be like, why is the game so far away? And be like, well, that's because that's part of it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are they still playing there, though? Aren't they at the minor league stadium this year?
So, yeah, now they're at the minor league stadium because the hurricane hit and tore off the roof, which is the biggest blessing in disguise.
Right, because that stadium blew.
It sucks so bad. And I'm a diehard fan, and I hate it so much. It's so understandable why people don't like it. And also, the bulk of the fans are in Tampa proper. So what would end up happening is a game will be on in the evening, but like your commute from work takes so long to get to St. Pete. By the time you get there, it's the fourth inning. Mm. So no wonder why there's nobody in the stands, right? Like from a practicality standpoint, you can't get to the game in time.
So are they building a new stadium in Tampa? Or are they?
That's what they're trying to do. Okay. There's a new ownership group trying to take over, and they've got this whole plot of like where to put it in Tampa. And there's a number of places that are like prime locations where like that would be awesome for how they've developed that area. That would be insane.
Where do the Bucks play? Is that?
So the Bucks play in Tampa proper.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They play off of Dalmabry Highway, which is the highway that's famous for all the strip clubs. So when Tampa was famous for being the strip club capital of the country, it always will vary. There's like three cities that it always bounces back and forth between. But at the time, Tampa had like 43 strip clubs, like per capita, whatever. But like, way too many. Like, think of Tampa as like the minor leagues for porn, right? Like, this is where you go to develop, really figure out what you're good at, right? And what to showcase, blah, blah. And then you go to the big leagues, right?
Sure.
Which is Van Nuys.
Exactly, right? Across the pond. That's funny. So down maybe it's really interesting because there is Raymond James Stadium, where the Bucks play. And then literally two blocks away are the three most famous like strip clubs like on the East Coast. They're like right there. So you just make your way over. There's a Hooters right in between. Mm-hmm. So it really like transitions you well into the strip club.
Right.
I remember I opened for a comic once. I'm not going to tell you his name because he's too famous and I don't want to embarrass him. He's somebody I looked up to my whole life. But one time I'm hosting for him. When I first started comedy, I'm at Side Splitters Comedy Club. It's one of the best comedy clubs in the world. And I'm driving him back to his hotel. And everybody, this is his first time in Tampa, everybody keeps telling him, you have to go to this strip club. It's called 2001 Space Odyssey, right? It's like after the movie, right? Mm-hmm. It's 2001 Odyssey. And the interesting thing about it is that they literally have a spaceship that's their champagne room, right? So if you're getting like your private dance, they take you up into a spaceship, and you're getting it in there, right? So that's, it's this big thing. It's very popular, right? And I know I don't want to go. I've been there once before. I know what it's like. I just don't want to go. I'm not a strip club guy. We have to drive by that place to get to his hotel. And he sees it. And he goes, we got to stop. And I go, no, let's not. And he goes, we have to stop. Like, I've heard too many. I got to know. I drive him there. We are walking up to the door. He's immediately recognized. Didn't even have to get there.
He's that famous.
He's that famous, right? He's immediately recognized. They go, right this way. Just come on. Just go in. It doesn't have to pay anything, blah, blah, blah. He comes right in. Literally, so there's two double doors to get in, right? And this is, I find this so interesting. We go through the first door. We go through the second door. It's maybe a span of 6 seconds from when he got recognized to we're through the second door, right? There are already two girls waiting to greet him.
They already know. They've already radioed in.
They already know. They were that prepared. And two of these girls, I recognize. I've got the internet. I've seen some porn. Like, I know who I'm looking at, right? They're already waiting to greet him. They just grab him by the hand, and they take him right up into the ship. And I'm just standing downstairs. Apparently, I am not close enough to also get to come.
But you were there. You're
I'm right there.
You're the wingman.
I might be somebody, and you just haven't Googled yet. I'm not at the time.
Right.
But, you know, I might have been. They take him up.
Okay.
I'm sitting down by the bar, right? I'm waiting. I have no sense of how long it's going to take. He comes back in like maybe 6 minutes, right? He looks like he's seen a gut, like truly like he has seen a haunting, right? I go, are you okay? What happened? And he just goes, they did so much. And I went, what does that mean? And he goes, we got to go. Am I an accomplice? What does that
mean? What did he do? Did he murder?
Never told me.
To this day, you don't know.
No, to this day, I do not know. I have so many theories. I've talked to a bunch of friends who have gone into the champagne room for a variety of reasons, and they have theories of what they might have done based on things they've seen. But also, I don't know like where his... you know, where his threshold of like what he can take or interpret
is
what.
They took their top off.
It could be so simple. Yeah, right? Or it could be some exactly, wild yeah. stuff. And who knows? But to this day, I always think about that. And anytime I see him on TV, I go like, they did so much. I always think
in
about
six
that.
6 minutes.
Now, when you say he's recognizable, is it because he's a shorter gentleman?
I'm not implying who it is. I know who you're implying.
Of course.
It's not him.
It is not him.
It is not.
We can rule him out.
He is short. Relative to me, I'm 6'3", though.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not who I believe you were hinting at. It's not him.
Okay. I had an immediate thought, but only because the person who I thought of famously had a song
yeah.
about the champagne room.
It is not him as well.
Okay.
But great guess.
All right.
Great guess.
That's who popped in my head.
I would argue, in a way, they are peers. In a way.
Okay.
In a way.
Well, if we guess it, are you going to tell us?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So why are we even bothering?
Yeah, sure.
I was not.
I'm going to wait until.
There's a part of me that wants to see like some fan theories online. I think it's that. I want to see like where people's minds go.
I also am going to pry it out of you off the air.
That's off the air. Oh, we're getting the info off the air.
We'll see what happens.
JB Balls. Now, JB, you have a new special out? Is that what
I do?
What's it called?
My second 1 hour special. It's called Jesus in the Crack House. And wildly interesting name. I absolutely had to call it that. The people who have seen the show when I was announcing that's what it was going to be called, literally getting out of their seats, like cheering at how happy they were that that's
seems
what
like
it's
an
called.
Overreaction if you're asking me.
I'm just letting you. So, just so anybody knows, if you're concerned, it's not blasphemous in the least. It's based on a story of something that happened. The story is an incredible story, and when you just look at the course of like what the story arc of the entire special is, it just seems very appropriate to call it Jesus in the Crack House. When you see it, it makes total sense.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't want people to be discouraged. Like, if you're worried that
people listening to this show are not going
to
be worried.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, I'm just trying to be respectful fine. To everybody. Like, I am like a charmingly edgy comedian. Let's put it that way. So if that is your taste, if you want to like cross some lines tactfully, where you go like, oh, that's good. Right. That's the kind of comic I am. Right. So,
And where does it live?
It lives on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
It's doing great so far. We're over 100,000 views. We've only been open, I think it's only been out for 2 weeks now. So
it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it's doing great. If you read the reviews, like I always go like defer to other people. Don't let me sell you. Go read the comments. The comments are amazing. And like, you know, those are the people who actually sat there and they watched the whole thing and mm-hmm. they can speak to it. And it's something I'm wildly proud of. And I think just when you get on board, when you see it, you go like, no, this is a fun ride. I gotta be real. This is really fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's for both specials. I have my first one on there as well.
What's the first one called?
The first one's called It's My Privilege. And really fun. Think of it as it is outright a stand-up comedy special. But the way people have described it over time is like it's a really fun TED Talk. Like, it's just a very funny TED Talk. You learn a ton while you are laughing the entire time.
Great.
But by the end of it, and this was my stance, and everybody's different. They have their preferences. With me, my favorite comedy experiences were when I left the show smarter than when I came in. By default, I accept I'm going to see somebody funny. I'm going to laugh. But do I actually feel like I am somehow elevated as a person for having left that show now?
Hmm.
And that was always my litmus for like, this material is worth it, this material is not. Hmm. I can be funny all day. That's not the hard thing, right? Can I be funny and add value? Like, that's the challenge. And these specials do that. You will leave way smarter and you will want to interject in a lot of conversations for the things that you have learned.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Well, I look forward to watching it. You're going to watch it. All right, Karen's on board.
well, it's the second one. That's a brilliant title because now everyone's gonna be like, "Well, I have to know what
you
the hell that means."
Now. Yeah, totally, so. Totally.
I'm not ignoring you as much as I'm looking for something that I don't know where it might be in this drawer. I'll look for it later.
Okay.
But it would it applies to the conversation here. At least I think it's there. I don't know where it's at. Let's go back to the Tampa Bay Rays for a moment.
Sure.
Who's your favorite player of all time? Jeff Conine?
No.
Carl Everett? Who's your favorite?
Favorite player of all time or favorite Ray of all time?
Favorite Ray.
Okay, so favorite Ray is a guy named Gerald Williams. And very specific reason why it's Gerald Williams.
Did he pass away?
Gerald did pass away. So I have two very close tie-ins to Gerald. Okay. All right. So one, Gerald is the guy, if you don't remember, if you ever saw a batter charge the mound and beat up Pedro Martinez, that would be Gerald Williams.
Okay.
One of my favorite clips I've ever seen in baseball history. Because you got to understand where Gerald came from. You got to understand what Gerald was up against in the league. And just how disrespected a person would have to feel to risk his career to fight Pedro Martinez,
yeah,
given who he was versus who he was, mm, right?
Yeah.
I respect that so much when the little man is willing to go, no, I'll throw it all to the wind because you need to learn. I do really respect that a lot.
And so, did that ruin his career?
No, he's fine. Oh, okay. He's fine. So if you don't know who Gerald Williams is, if you've seen Derek Jeter's documentary, The Captain, Gerald is Derek Jeter's best friend.
Oh, okay.
So he's in it the whole time. He's played for a number of different teams, Braves, Yankees, Devil Rays. He was there when it was the Devil Rays. I met Gerald at an LA Fitness playing basketball randomly. Didn't even recognize him. And I'd watched him play for years. Didn't even recognize him, right? He was just the nicest dude. And you couldn't believe like how fit he was for how old he was, because he was in his 50s and he played great and he moved great and he was so helpful to people and he was so kind. Mm-hmm. And he would he'll bump heads with you, but only in a space of just like, hey, this is for the betterment of something, right? Mm-hmm. He was genuinely a person to aspire to be like, right? The reason I was able to move to LA was because Gerald helped me.
Wow.
Right. Uh-huh. And that's something like nobody knows. So what ended up happening was I was supposed to move to LA three times for my career. I had done JFL New Faces. Like they were like, you got to follow up on this heat. You got to get over here. We got to get you on screen. And every time I would try to save up money for something, something dire would happen and I wouldn't be able to move. My car would break down. I'd need to replace it. Someone had to go to the hospital and I'm the only person who can offer some kind of financial assistance. Right. There would always be something. And then finally, this one time, 2018, I finally have enough money to get here. I can get here, but I don't have enough money to sustain yet. Mm. I haven't established anything, right? Gerald sent me enough money to buy me a car.
What the F?
He just bought me a car, right? And that's just because he knew me as a person. Here's what's wild about Gerald. He had never even seen my stand-up yet. And I was already a big fish in a small pond over there. Huh. But he had heard, but he had never seen it for himself. But our conversations over the years of just talking about like what matters and what's important and who you stick up for and all these things. He was just such a high character person that he bought me a car.
Wow.
And that's the whole reason I'm still here.
Good for you and him.
Yeah. So cool. Gerald passes away.
Yeah.
Before I could even pay him back the money. Right. Mm. And now I can pay it back in abundance.
Yeah. But that's
what I couldn't at the time. Right? Yeah. I hear you. I hear you working. I'm not mad that I had the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so as a way of honoring Gerald, like when people ask me for money, I almost always loan it. Like, and it's, I've been burned and I've not been burned.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to say that on microphone. Yeah,
listen, I'm going to have some kind of relationship with him, right? But point being is like, I know how far that carried me and I know what it means to be helped in that way. And I just feel like if I can't pay him back, that's a way to honor what he did. So Gerald Williams will always be my favorite Ray of all time.
That's awesome.
He will always be.
All right. Then your favorite player of all time.
King Griffey Jr. What are we talking about? It's not even debatable.
Yeah.
Oh,
Frank Thomas.
Oh, not even close. Oh, what are we talking? I prefer love Frank.
I prefer Frank Thomas. He's my favorite player.
Make the case.
I don't need to do that with you. clearly, of course, Griffey Jr. But I'm not talking about stats.
To be fair,
I'm talking about
I love Frank.
Who my favorite is.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Make the case Frank for Thomas your played for your favorite team.
Yeah, played for the White Sox.
Are you a White Sox guy? Okay, yeah. Okay. Are you originally from Chicago?
I am.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's me there throwing out the first pitch.
Oh, let's go, dude.
Yeah.
I love that. Just you and Derrick Rose. You're the only ones I've known who've done it.
Derrick Rose played for the Bulls.
Yeah, no, but he threw out a first pitch the other day.
Oh, did you?
For the White Sox.
He was opening day,
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Was it opening day that he did?
I'm not sure if it was opening day, but he definitely just did it.
I always get I was thinking about this the other day. Whenever they have somebody in the booth or they have somebody throw out the first pitch, it's either a really super famous person or it's anybody that ever was a professional athlete. Even if you give a shit about that person or not, they think you care. Well, we got the coach from Notre Dame here. Nobody gives a fuck what this guy has to say during the third inning.
Yep.
Get him out of here. Yep. I would rather have the guy from Zany's in there or anybody. Have the guy that's at the gas station in there.
Yeah.
Just because the guy coaches football, I want to hear. We're not all just into all sports.
Yeah, totally.
Right, we're going to have the guy from the Blackhawks here. Don't care. Couldn't care less.
I don't view it as an honor position. I view it as an entertainment position. I want whoever's going to be the most entertaining to throw that pitch. Mm-hmm. Because I'm at the game to be entertained, right? I don't care who you are. I want to know, are you going to go for it? Do something that I'm going to go, that was pretty cool. That's all I'm looking for. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I've never Googled a single person that threw out a first pitch. Like, it's not a great PR move. I'm not looking you up. I either know you or I don't.
Right.
And I'm moving on.
That's a good point.
You know?
I'm going to check out his special.
Yeah, like there's no one who's doing that.
He threw it just a little bit inside. You know what? What's he about?
50 Cent when he throws lefty for the Mets and it goes like down the first baseline.
Yeah, it's a little classic.
Do you think anybody looked up his album and went like, I gotta check this guy out.
How's he sound?
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it only really ever makes an impression when it's terrible, and that's fun for people. But yeah, it's just there's that also has diminishing returns because it has to be really, really bad to top, like, you know.
All I'm asking you to do is be great.
Yeah.
Look, you don't gotta throw an accurate pitch, but throw it so badly, I'm like, I will never forget that.
Excuse me.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate that.
Well, I blew it then. You
went right down the middle.
A little bit. If you're a right-handed batter, a little bit outside.
Did you try to gun it though?
No. You know what? Right before I've told the story before. Right before I was going to go, I was up in the booth talking to pregame, talking to Ed Farmer, who's since passed away. He was a player for the White Sox, and then he was the play-by-play guy.
Okay.
And they introduced me. They said, "This is Jimmy Pardo. He's about to throw out the first pitch." And he said, "It's the first toss. Imagine you're playing catch with your dad. If you think you're playing catch with your dad, you're not going to miss. If you try to throw a strike, you're going to miss." And it was the greatest advice. All the me practicing the field meant nothing because it was like, oh, there's my dad. Mm-hmm. I know where to throw that.
Mm-hmm.
And it came in nicely and, you know, all just right. Again, a little bit outside.
Allow me to play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. Okay. One, you're implying that I want to protect my dad with the throw. You don't know my relationship.
That's true.
All right.
I didn't mean to judge.
Two, even if we have a good relationship, now you're implying that my dad can't catch, so make it easy for him.
No, no, it's not about your
my
dad.
My dad can handle it.
Okay, no, he's not.
I'm not throwing
this
heat
not with
harder than my dad. That's my dad. Right? Second. This third, old,
you're
third.
Old. Okay, go ahead.
All right. If it's just a toss, why is he squatting behind home plate?
For the show.
Oh, okay.
It's for the show.
Well, then my throw's for the show, too. and I'm throwing some heat.
But I tell you
what. That's going to register at 60 miles an hour.
I threw my heat, which was about that.
Okay.
But the toss in the head was what made sense.
Yeah, I get you.
The guy squatting behind there was Jesus fanatic John Danks.
Oh.
Great last name.
His brother also played. But John, when I stood next to John, as always, that's a man.
Okay.
And he might have been 30 years my junior, but he was a man.
Yeah.
And here I am. I just threw a ball out. And he's just solid. He's just a piece of iron.
You'd say, what would he weigh? What would you guess?
If I had to?
Yeah.
230.
Ooh.
But it's all muscle.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not you.
He's a me. Yeah. Listen, I'm 235.
I walked in and I complimented your shape.
Listen, not calling me a man?
You're not John Danks.
Okay.
You're not John Danks.
I am no John Danks.
I'm telling you that.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Another White Sox I love, by the way.
John Danks would never disrespect Jesus with his show title.
I am honoring Jesus.
Okay.
I am pointing out that he is everywhere.
Including the crack house.
The crack house is a place that Jesus can be.
That's fair.
I actually met a guy whose name was Jesus. He came to a show. I told that bit. And he said, I came here from a crack house. And I went, hey, man, I have no idea how to respond to that.
Yeah. safe getting home?
Yeah. Good luck, man.
Yeah.
Let him take the wheel.
I'm going to slowly walk backwards now.
Exactly.
Who's the other white side?
Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Don't you do this, Jimmy.
No.
Honor your man. Can I tell you why I love him?
Because of the one home run he hit in the field?
No, I could care less about his play.
Then what do you like?
Dude.
There's nothing to like. He's an asshole.
That's part of the... Okay, hear me out. Tim Anderson is one of the best players for the White Sox. He is also a black player. I feel a part of me is like pulled to that by default, right? What I love the most about the fact that he's an MLB player is that he doesn't want to be. I love it.
Is this a current player? I don't know who that
Tim
is.
Tim Anderson is one of the better players in the league. I'm not going to say one of the best. He's one of the better. Like, if you're splitting the spectrum, he's on the top half of the spectrum.
I'm going to interrupt him. He's horrible. he's currently playing for the Angels, and he doesn't even start.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's now.
He's fallen off.
That's
he was
now.
Great, and then he knocked up his girlfriend, and it fucked him up mentally, and he can't play baseball anymore. Huh. So I disagree with everything.
He never wanted to play baseball, and he made Major League Baseball.
JB's out of his fucking mind.
There are
no
people
what he's talking
who
about.
Would give their right arm to play.
Of course.
And they can't play better. Tim Anderson wanted to be a basketball player.
Okay.
But he understood, I'm just so good at baseball that this is the route I have to take. I love the idea that someone is playing at that level against their own
He was
will.
Very good for a short period of time. He was very good. He was the captain. He was the White Sox captain.
Yeah. Okay. He had a moment. I'm not trying to make the case he's some Hall of Famer or something like that.
But he could have been, but he got in his own fucking head.
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to care. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, I do think everything you're saying is fair. Right? I just am acknowledging. I do like him. Like, I kind of like him.
He became very unlikable.
I don't think at any point he was doing something to be likable. I think that is consistent. I think his attitude about it the whole time was kind of like, okay, I guess I could take it or leave it, but I like the storyline within baseball. Granted, you are speaking from a place of it is your team, and it's where your heart's at. It's not my team.
Right.
So I'm looking at it from a standpoint of really entertaining thing going on over there. Right. So
I'm not also seeing a lot more interviews than you're seeing because of
1,000%. Yes.
So I'm seeing that he was a very likable guy that then became a very unlikable guy.
The transition was like that big.
It was night and day.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Just
it could be the knockout punch. It could be the
well, that certainly he got punched in the face.
And, oh, God.
And
badly.
Like Mike Tyson's TKO. He was like, oh.
Like, you've seen baseball fights, but have you seen a baseball knockout? Tim was knocked out.
Yeah,
and it is
crazy.
Yeah. Who hit him?
Oh.
I can't pull it.
Was it a guy?
It was a guy.
It was either the Rangers or the Astros. I feel like it was a Texas team. And it was a guy who I didn't know he had hammer in his fist like that. You see the punch land and you go,
oh,
man. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Garen, look that up. Look up, please, who punched Tim Anderson.
Because Tim gets the first punch off, but the guy is sort of slipping it as he's throwing his. And he's just, the connect is just.
And he falls like a CGI'd cartoon from the late 90s.
Like a sack of flour.
Listen, like I told you, I like Tim Anderson. It hurt me. It's like, I don't know if you've ever watched one of your favorite fighters fight and just. The tension you'll feel, like you'll catch yourself holding your breath because you're like, you just can't tell how in danger they are at any given moment. It was one of those where you just gasp and you go, no, no. Like you just, imagine seeing your dad get knocked out. It's that feeling. You're just like, oh, no.
Is that what we're learning? Tim Anderson's your father?
God, could you imagine? I think I'm older than him.
I get it. You think you're older than Tim Anderson?
I think I may be. Yeah.
Garen, who is it?
Does Jose Ramirez ring a bell? The Cleveland Guardians?
Oh, it was the Guardians.
Of course. Yeah, that's
what
it was.
Okay. Yeah. Because he's the one with the dreads, right? Who plays
third base,
shortstop. Yeah. Is it third? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hit three home runs the other day.
Yeah.
I feel like punching in baseball has come up a lot. And so I'm wondering if you like punching more than baseball.
I think now that celebrity fight cards are becoming a thing, right? When we were coming up, celebrity death matches where we had to entertain these things, mm-hmm. right? But now, thanks to Jake Paul and these other promotions, mm-hmm. certain matchups are tangible. And I would like to see more celebrities who are not known for fighting just square off, mm-hmm. right? And I do think there's something to certain baseball matchups that you could sell me on. I will give you my money. If you're telling me they are willing to slug it out for three rounds, I'll take three rounds. I don't need you to prove anything more than that. Just do it, mm-hmm. you know? I think there are certain matchups that would be fun.
Who would you like to see?
Okay, all right. Across the board in anything, I would like to see Russell Wilson versus Future. I think that would be great. If
so
you know
specific.
Why. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, so
I don't know either of those people.
So Russell Wilson, the quarterback for, well, now, I mean, the who's Giants. The quarterback? Is it the Giants now? Okay. Giants.
Don't follow the game.
Okay, all right. So basically, he's one of the more famous quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's on the back end of his career. It's over soon, right?
Okay.
But he is married to Sierra, who is a famous musician, not choreographer, but dancer, singer. She was formerly married to Future, the rapper.
Oh, so that's why you want to
and
see.
And there is a big problem between the triangle of that. Right? And it's been a story for a long time. So to see it just get handled that way, because the thing is, what would you bet on? Would you bet on NFL athleticism?
Yes.
Or huge rapper energy? Because Future is no small man. So I just go, like, just because you can't play football doesn't mean you're not athletic in a fight.
Yeah.
But this is an elite athlete as well.
What about my advice I get from the stock market that I should bet on the futures? Would that play into this?
I mean, that is one way to go.
That's one way to go.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, man, that's as good a guess as any. You know what I mean? We don't know how they fight.
I think I'm going to go with the NFL guy.
Is Future known to scrap, though? Is he gonna have a reputation?
He talks like he does, but I don't know any stories of him actually doing it, which doesn't mean he hasn't done it. If I was famous and I was getting in scraps, I would work to keep that under wraps as well. So
sure.
I'm not going to. But what I would say is, all right, if you saw a picture of both of them, would your pick stay the same?
All right. Yeah, here's the thing. And I'm going to be sound like a bigot here. Pull up both photographs.
Please.
Yeah. But don't tell me who's who.
Sure.
Okay.
Because I don't know what either of these gentlemen look like.
Totally.
I think it'll be pretty easy.
The one shows up and Garen pulls out. What about this guy? He's got a helmet on. A Giants helmet. No, not that one, Garen.
So we're looking for Russell Wilson. And the rapper named Future.
Yeah.
Find both of them. I'm sure Russell Wilson was at the ESPYs. Find them like on a red carpet somewhere.
Right. So they're both wearing a
street like clothes.
Trying
to imagine
jacket.
Would Future have ever worn a suit? That's what I'm trying to.
I don't know who Future is.
I can see a world where maybe he did, but also I can see, like, why would he have?
Well, he graduated, right? Probably put a suit on for his mother.
Yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, let's find their high school graduation.
Pull up both their high school photographs.
Yeah. That's going to be very hard. I don't know enough about future. I just feel like the default, like you said, a guy who's an elite athlete, he made it to the top of his field. He has a level of athleticism that an average guy is not going
to
have.
Here's a fair question to throw in here. Do we consider quarterbacks to be elite athletes, though? Like, in the spectrum of football athletes, do we look at quarterbacks?
It is a very specific skill set. Right? I know what you mean, yeah.
But I've seen Tom Brady run the 40, and I don't think athlete is what we would have said.
Yeah.
But it's more than singer.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right? I mean, is
Future a singer or a rapper?
He is a rapper.
Rapper.
Which, I don't know why I made the distinction because...
Okay.
Because rapping does require, you know, breath control and...
1,000%.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to say the guy on the left is the ball player.
Okay.
Correct.
And the guy with the multicolored dreads is... that's Future.
That is Future.
I guess there was really no way to make that a surprise.
Yeah, I knew when I was coming up, I'm like, yeah, you're going to get it.
And just look at the size of their respective necks. I think that tells you a lot about who's going to be...
Yeah, but look at the look on their face, though.
Yeah, one looks angry, one looks friendly.
Yeah, it's hard to tell in that picture if Future has any muscle mass, but he looks a little scrawny to me.
I'm going with Wilson.
All right.
Yeah, me too.
Look, maybe he's called Future because he can see the future and he knows exactly what Russell's
he knows which
do.
Punch is going to come.
Oh, he's Sherlock Holmes.
He can make those moves.
You can matrix it.
In Future's head, the action's just pausing and he's going just kick to the solar plexus. Lacerate liver.
I'm going to say Russell Wilson looks like a sitcom star from the 90s.
1,000% he's got that vibe, right?
Yeah, doesn't he? He's got the smile, a little bit of a Carlton smile to him.
Yeah. He looks like he could walk in and he's like, who's dating Al Bundy's daughter for an episode.
Uh-huh.
And Al's like, I don't know. Yeah. And we're like, wait, is Al racist or not? What are we doing?
It is.
Yeah.
That's fair a enough. Fair question.
Well, we're still laughing because it was a different time.
I mean, it's Al Bundy. Like, no one's liking him because he was a nice guy.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, though, this is an important question.
Yeah.
Is Russell Wilson too nice to win this fight?
That is why I want to see it.
That's what I'm... When I'm looking at this picture, I'm realizing he might be too nice.
So did this gentleman... Again, I don't know this word. Did this gentleman steal the lady? Like, is it one of those?
No.
They got divorced and then this gentleman...
Yeah, it was just who was next. But it's also like, listen, if I'm a rapper, I'm talking about women as property. This is my thing that I... Oh, it's my thing, like without cursing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when anybody else has your thing... Mm-hmm. And to be clear, they had a baby together. So it's like now Russell's like raising his kid. Like there's this weird kind of like who's in control of what dynamic. And I think they were both peaking around the same time as well. So it really was a we can't tell who's one-upping who in terms of success. Mm-hmm. Which all I hear is this kid has the greatest life on earth because he's just have his two rich dads and a rich mom. And they're trying to compete for who's the best. And go, great. Yeah. Give me all the PlayStations. Yeah. I'll take
everybody
that.
Wins.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like this Russell Wilson's a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is...
I don't know anything about this guy.
As a person, everybody's like, he's a great guy.
They like him.
As a player, it'll be divided. You know, he's won a Super Bowl. He's gotten to another that he should have won. He threw probably one of the most iconic picks of all time. But there is this thing where when you're talking like NFL culture... It seems like there's a subsection of culture that he just does not fit into, that just does not identify with him. And so it causes rifts in the locker room or whatever. And that's, I don't know enough of the story, but that's the general sense from the outside. It's just like, he's a polarizing figure, even though he is a good dude.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know?
You know who's a polarizing figure who isn't a good dude? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, facts.
He's not a good person.
I loved him so much.
You did. You enjoyed him.
So long. And then this turn, like when the pandemic hit, it was just like, please stop doing this, man. I am on this like tour of regretting the people I loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I grew up a diehard Kanye fan and I'm like, there's just no way to reconcile this.
Nope.
Like he's so far beyond the line. And I'm not talking about just now. It's been for years where I've had to reconcile of like when he first said he was going to run for president, you got to understand like when he first said it, like at the, I think it was like the MTV Music or Video Awards or one of those things.
Yeah.
Right. It was so funny and not believable that I was all for it. Not all for him actually doing it, but all for him saying it as like a gaffe, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember I posted it on my Facebook and everything. Like, it was like my banner, like Kanye 2020, like whatever it was. But it was just because it was like such a funny moment.
Yeah.
And then the more real it started to become, I was like, oh God, no. Whoa. What are we doing?
We got to take that banner down.
Yeah. And I feel like people aren't going to look back and go like, no, I get what he meant at the time. And there's so much that I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I am going to stop voicing opinions on certain things. I hope Tim Anderson gets better.
Well, the good news, he'll be out of the game soon.
Yeah, fair enough.
He loves this show, though. I tell you the
It sounds like. I can see why you would.
Good old number, number seven. Loves it. I'll say this about Tim Anderson. I was also a fan until he kind of lied. And I'm bummed that he's one of those players that just was like great and now doesn't play the game.
Yeah.
And just, you know, Jermaine Dye was the same way. Although he got older, but it's like that where nobody signs him anymore. They're just done. It's like they still have game in them.
I guess there's something to be said for how long am I supposed to care in the way that you want me to, right? We were talking about this yesterday at the gym where, take Zion Williamson, for example, right? Do you know who Zion is?
I don't.
So Zion Williamson is like this phenom prospect basketball player who came out of Duke, say like 4 years ago or so. I could be a little off on the years. Point is, he's still very young in his career. Absolutely unstoppable. Tank of a body. One of the most athletic things you've ever seen in your life. I promise you, you've never seen anything like it. He's one of one, right? But he is so injury prone and they are attacking his work ethic so much that now it's very unclear how to perceive what he is. When he is on the court, he is so effective. He's just on the court so rarely, right? So is he a bust or is he still the prospect we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing about it was he still got such a massive contract that my argument is, why would he need to care at the level that all of you want him to care? Mm-hmm. Look at how much money he just made.
Pride, respect?
I mean, what's that worth, though? Like, when he walks around, no one's disrespecting him. He's not living in a space where, like, he has to encounter any of that.
But you're, but in his own head, wouldn't you, I don't know if I would feel good about just phoning it in just because I made the money. Yeah. I would still want to perform the best that I could perform.
Do you think you would still feel that way if I put $138 million in front of you right now?
This is a very successful podcast. It's already been done.
All right, fair enough. My bad. That's my bad.
We made just $2 million less than Joe Rogan.
Okay.
So we're there already.
Okay.
And I give 100, I'm clearly giving 100%.
Respect. Listen.
I'm giving 93 tops. Let's be honest. Tops.
Oh, yeah, but
they would argue that's still far
more
than
Zion. In my prime, I give
100%. Yeah, that's totally fair. But there's something to that where I go, like, I think when you're looking at his life, like, his life is so wildly interesting that I could see how he'd be distracted. As an example, just this week, one of his stalkers got arrested for beating up one of his stalkers.
There was a stalker on stalker fight?
Stalker on stalker.
I know you want these cage matches.
He's not even there.
He's not even involved. Just two people in bushes.
Imagine seeing somebody dunk so good that you're like, I need to fight a stranger.
Yeah.
That is that guy's life.
Pull that guy up, Garen.
Zion Williamson.
Zion. Standard spelling on that.
And I probably, like, if you're ranking, like, all-time prospects in terms of hype around a player, he's probably top three. Like, we're talking that big a deal. Because he's one of the first social media darlings where we knew about him 3 years before he was eligible for the draft. So we've just been salivating trying to get him to the league. And I'm telling you, when you see the dunks he does with the body type he has, he's not supposed to be able to do that. That's what's so... It's like, imagine watching a tractor jump over a hurdle. You'd be like, what in the physics did I just see? Like, that's what it... He's a tank flying.
Yeah. Are you saying you've seen a tractor jump a hurdle?
I mean, I'll call him that. Sure. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Tractor, yeah.
I mean, I've seen Twister, maybe, that's right. Maybe in that regard.
That's what they do.
They're storm chasers.
They're storm chasers.
Would you do it? Would you do a storm chasing?
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
What? Okay, type of storm that you're open to. Where's your threshold?
A drizzle.
Go after a drizzle. A light mist.
I can see some dark clouds over there.
I'm all in on that.
You see what's going on.
Oh, that's great.
What's happening over Reseda?
That's great.
Get a closer look. I was in a few tornadoes in my lifetime.
Okay.
Being in the Midwest. The scariest was I was driving to Indianapolis, and I was driving east on I-80 to get to 65 south. And I was listening to, I'm looking at the clouds. I'm like, well, that doesn't look good. So I turned the news on and they say there's a tornado traveling east, 1 mile south of 80, about to intersect with 65. And I'm like, well, fuck, that's where I am. And then I pull off to the side of the road, and it's almost like every car on the highway got the same news report. And the gas station guy was waving us all in.
Yeah.
And we all went in. We all got into the service bay and waited it out. And it was I wasn't intentionally storm chasing. A storm was chasing me.
Sure. Yeah, I like that. Can I ask? So what's the energy emotionally in that situation? Like, is it exciting? Is it fear? Is it nervousness?
It was initially exciting.
Yeah.
When I was like, oh, that's right there. Yeah, wait, that's right there.
You're like, I'm one of the people.
And then it was fear because it's like, well, I'm not in a ditch and I don't, but I'm close enough to that building to make that building. Am I close enough to that building to make that building?
Yeah.
So it was, it went from exciting, like, I'm, they're talking about me and where I'm at. And then just fear of, oh, no, this is real.
Yeah.
And then to wait it out and then, you know, I don't think it touched down. I think it was just, at least not right there at Dentata. It touched down before and after.
Yeah.
Was it, were the winds crazy, though, just being near
bananas.
It? Yeah, yeah.
Bananas.
It so was, that is kind of scary.
That's another matchup I'd like to see. Tornado versus man. I'd just like to see that fist fight if we could just.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm into that. Yeah.
I don't, again, I don't follow the game. Tornado another player?
No. No, we're talking the tornado that came for you.
I see.
We want revenge on that guy. Well, now this is the rematch. We need a rubber match.
Bring it on, NATO.
Maybe if they make Twisters 3, because I was a little disappointed in Twisters.
I was going to ask you, did you see it?
Of course I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it really did lack a man punching a tornado. Like that's what the movie was.
That's
missing.
Where we're headed, man. Sharknado.
It was a little too realistic. Meets
Twisters. Fishnado.
Yeah.
They were trying so hard for realism. Like, no, just get in there and punch that thing.
Straight up, dude. Yeah. Listen, we don't know that it doesn't work. I've got theories on this, all right?
Really?
So here's where I'm at. I think
can't possibly have theories on punching a tornado.
Not that specific. But what I mean is there are certain issues that come out where I go like, we don't know that this isn't the solution.
Example.
I am not telling you it is. I'm saying, show me it's not.
Okay.
Cure for zombies. Okay. We know. Hear me out.
Here's what we know first. There aren't zombies.
Yet.
Okay.
But when they come, what's your plan? That's all I'm saying.
I won't be here.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hope. My thought is the cure for zombies is you bite them first.
Okay.
And my logic is, we've seen a zombie bite a human, you turn into a zombie. If a zombie bites a zombie, you can't turn more zombie. If a human bites a human, you stay a human. Human bites a zombie, you'll know.
This is watertight logic.
You don't. All I'm arguing is that nobody's, you don't know.
Nobody's ever done it.
Well, we don't know.
Well, I'm saying we've tried all these things. What if we found out it was that simple
have
the whole time?
Have we tried these things?
Well, in theory, I guess, like within fictional narratives. Garen, yes.
So Garen is our resident horror film expert.
Please.
Has there ever been a zombie movie where somebody bit a zombie?
I'm sure there has. And it sadly, as far as I understand, it did not have that effect.
Oh.
But it just means someone hadn't thought of it
yet.
For
the proof, because I have yet to see said movie. That's what, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm saying I haven't seen that.
If that did work, though,
I don't know. That's how facts work.
All I'm saying,
I'm not aware of it.
All I'm saying is I haven't seen it, but I am asking to see it. I'm not in denial of. Enlighten me, and I'll be like, all right, well, let's scratch that one off. But right now, if the zombies come, I'm either going to be a hero or I'm going out epic. But either way, you're going to remember JB Ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be like, that dude was wild.
Is that the guy that tried to bite the zombie?
Oh yeah. Another Florida man.
That's the ultimate Florida man, honestly.
And what movie is that, Garen? Probably any.
I don't know specifically what that is.
All right. Maybe our listeners.
I could be wrong.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah. Are you turning into a zombie right now?
Right? Is that what's happening?
Bite him. Bite him. Garen, go bite him. JB Ball is here. JB Ball's got the new special, Jesus in the Crack House?
Jesus in the Crack House.
In the Crack House.
Yep. It's a direct quote.
I look forward to watching this special. I did not watch it previously because I do zero research, but I like to learn about people on the program.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship, sir?
I am not, but I just had my first baby. I'm one of those.
Hey!
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. He's 5 months old, so we had him the day after Halloween, right? We actually had to go into the hospital on Halloween, which is a real buzzkill to your Halloween, because I was dressed as Blade. And I had to figure out if I wanted to stay dressed as Blade because I went to deliver a baby.
What'd you go with?
I decided to change out of it because if something bad happened, I didn't want a doctor to have to give me bad news while I was dressed as Blade.
Fair.
I was like, it's too awkward. Let's change.
So November 1.
November 1 is the birthday.
What a joy.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much. What's the baby's name? Jameson Blade Ball.
But really?
Yeah. So if you watch my first special, I do this joke about how I said if I ever had a mixed baby, which he is, I said I would name him Blade, and I would nickname him Daywalker. And my argument is that he is the best of both worlds, right? So I would lift him up off the operating table, and I would just be, I would be like all of their strengths, none of their weaknesses. Blade's my favorite superhero ever, and I just thought it would be a really fun thing to do. But obviously, like, let's not do first name because he needs to get work.
Yeah,
but I think if I was a boy and I needed a nickname, I wouldn't be mad it was Blade.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
It's right in the name. It's already there for the folks to pick.
It's there, man. And I really do love it. And everybody seems to like it because it is kind of a fun thing. Yeah. You know?
And are you Jameson?
No. I am a Jonathan. But he is
Jonathan Blade Ball.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? It's the Blade family name.
It's the Blade family. Yeah. It's been handed on for generations.
That's great.
That's why he's my favorite superhero. We couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
What part of town do you live in? You comfortable saying so?
Yeah. I live up in Valencia. I'm up there by Magic Mountain.
Oh, you're up there.
Yeah, love it.
You zip down here. That was a piece of cake.
Yeah, no big deal at all. Everybody talks about the commutes in L.A. I have never encountered that. But it's also like,
what?
I'm luckily, I guess, driving at times when like that's not the bad time.
Yeah, you're not doing a 9-to-5, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I'm like, it seems fine. I'll get over there. Yeah, yeah. So Valencia, it's great because it's out of the muck of L.A., mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
And so like it's very reminiscent of where I grew up. It is suburb-ish.
Right.
You know, all the resources I need on the daily are there. But then when I got to come get stuff done, then I can get to L.A. super fast. So it really isn't an issue. I like it. I have so much more space. And I can walk a baby around and not be like, is it okay? Can I defend me and a baby? You know?
Yeah,
it's been great, though. But I never wanted to be a father, right? And I could not be loving being a father week to week more and more, mm-hmm. right? The more you learn him and the more you just see the circumstances that come up. Like, he peed on me the other day. And I got to admit, man, like, being a father just changes how you, like, conceptualize things. Because I think it sounds insane to like get peed on and then be concerned about the person peeing on you. Like, oh my God, he's crying. Is he okay? Like, if someone else peed on me and was crying, I'd be like, well, I'm gonna add to the tears.
Yeah.
Right? But this, I go like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I can't believe you peed on me. Like, it's a very interesting dynamic.
You just don't care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure he's good.
A buddy of mine went to a strip club and had two strippers piss on him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Down in Florida.
He brought the squid in it.
I'm not going to tell you who that guy is, but he went to
the squid or no, jellyfish, my bad.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's
thank you so much.
Absolutely wonderful. Matt's got an 8 and a 16. An 8.
What? 13 and 16.
13 and 16.
Wait, Charlie's how old now?
He's turning 13 in 2 weeks.
No, he's turning 9.
No.
Okay, wait. Do they listen to the show?
No.
Okay, so real question. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you who's your favorite.
Okay.
But what was your favorite age for each of them?
Oh, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say because it just like every time, like every stage is like it's always changing and it's always kind of, there's new things that are fun, you know, like my daughter, I can have conversations with her now, like a friend, you know, cause she's old enough. Like we can talk about things that you can't talk about with a 10-year-old.
Totally.
But I do like, I remember like going to the, you know, when the Star Wars movie started coming back, the Episode 7, when that came out, taking her to that, and she loved it, and I loved it. Like, that was such a fun moment.
And she was already familiar with the whole saga, the whole...
Yeah, I forced her to...
Yes.
Okay.
But she was... I mean, she doesn't care about them now, but she was into it at that moment, and so that was super fun.
Very cool.
And, you know, my son... I love soccer. My son plays soccer, so it's fun to share that with him. And, yeah, so I don't know. They're just... I wouldn't really be able to pinpoint one.
What a politician's answer.
No, that's an accurate answer.
Yeah.
My son's 17.
Yeah.
And I'm loving every second of him being 17, but I also miss when he was 2 and 10. And it's just, I mean, we're also very lucky that our kids are good kids.
Yeah.
And so there's not like, oh, thank God the 11 through 15 is over. We didn't go. We didn't really go through that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. How much credit are you taking for that?
Zero.
Okay. That's interesting.
I take zero credit.
Yeah. Because I wonder, is it something at times where it's just like, oh, I nailed that. That's why he ended up the way he did. Or is it just like, man,
I think that,
lucky roll of the dice right there. That was great.
It's that.
I mean, you definitely kind of, I guess you set a template without, you can't really control how you know, that's the funny thing is like people put a lot of mental energy into like, how do you raise your children? But you ultimately just kind of do whatever you do, and you kind of, I at least, maybe other people are different. I never felt like I was necessarily controlling that. It was just kind of like a combination of how I was raised and what I thought was right. And so like,
totally.
You just kind of do it because it's an exhausting job, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you can't be all like, well, I know people actually who've tried to like micromanage it and like read books and like, I'm going to do what this says.
Well,
and
they fuck them up.
And that's like, I honestly think that's a mess.
Yeah.
That you kind of just have to go with your gut and just sort of do what feels
but
right.
But there's also, I mean, it's in them because, you know, Dahmer's mother loved him.
Right.
And he's evil.
Yeah. Yeah,
or was evil. He's dead now. He bit some people as well.
Totally evil.
Do you think there was zombies?
I think Hitler's still evil. Yeah. Dead or alive.
So, wanted, dead, Bon Jovi sucks.
Wait, can I chime in for a second?
Yeah.
You just gave me this thought. I was like, oh my God, could you imagine? So you're familiar with the movie Rat Race, or at least the concept of Rat Race?
The movie Rat Race?
Yes.
The comedy?
Yes.
With like Rowan Atkinson and
all those people. I just want to make sure
we're all on the same page. Gem.
Beauty, right? It's beautiful.
Yes.
Right? So the concept for just those who aren't familiar is that these billionaires or millionaires, very wealthy people, are so bored with life, they are finding new types of nuanced things to place bets on. And they all involve real people who maybe do or don't know that they're actually in the contest itself. They don't know what the bet is. You just made me think about this concept of, imagine there's some billionaire somewhere and they're saying, we are going to take a parent in this situation, a parent in this situation, and a parent in that situation, right? And we're going to bet on who raises the better kid relative to their situation. And you don't know that you're in it, right? Yeah. So I'm going to take somebody in this income bracket, someone in this circumstance, and someone with these resources, right? And then in 18 years or 25 years or whatever we follow back on, we're just going to show up with a winner's check. Yeah. Going like, congratulations.
There you go.
Love you it. Did the best. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, we've been watching you and three other families for a long time. And given what you were working from, bravo.
It's like the it's like trading places if the Duke brothers had more patience.
And
just were like, we're gonna make this a generation long thing.
And, I do like the idea of futures bets, like the idea, but like doing it on like someone's life.
Super,
or betting on a prospect early, like for sports. You can do that, right? Yeah. Where you're just like, you see these group of kids when they're six and you go like, I'll take a bet with you right now. That kid's going to the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll revisit this in 20 years.
And remember, use promo code PARDO on Prize Picks. Take advantage of that. One of my favorite parts, it's just so subtle in Rat Race, is where they're talking, and in the background, a house cleaner just falls.
She's hanging off the curtain.
And it's who can hang the longest off the curtain. Like, that's what they're betting on.
Yes.
So stupid.
It's so great. The minute you said in your favorite part, I was like, please let it be that. I'm so happy that that's where your head was at.
It's so great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Lovitz is great in it. Everybody's great in it.
Everybody nailed it.
Vince Vloff, who has disappeared from, we talked about it recently.
Yes,
Vince Vloff.
We did.
He's great in everybody. Seth Green's great.
Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr., who couldn't believe. I mean, he played a role where I felt bad for him. I couldn't believe it. You know, the more you learn about Cuba, you go like, tough to feel bad for that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I hung out with Cuba back in the 80s. We were. My good friend at school was his best friend.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time with Cuba. When he was just an up-and-coming guy.
Yeah.
And then he made it huge.
Totally.
And I said one sentence to him since.
What's considered Cuba's breakout role? Was it Boys in the Hood?
Definitely.
That's the breakout.
He was on the TV show The Bronx Zoo with Ed Asner.
Yeah,
and that was actually what happened. He got a Doritos commercial, and he went from just guy trying. And the Doritos commercial, he was really – it's fucking weird as this is. He was really good in it.
Yeah.
And so people are like, have you seen that Doritos commercial? That guy's really good.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good he was.
That's pretty wild.
Then he got The Bronx Zoo, and then he got, to your point, the breakout Boys in the Hood.
Yeah. That's so wild. Because that's like – like, how iconic a commercial performance has to be for people to go, you got to watch this guy.
Yeah,
well, you know who else was Sean Hayes? Remember Sean Hayes did a Doritos commercial before he was famous?
Oh, really?
Can you remind me? Sean Hayes. Who
from Will and Grace.
That guy. Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Is Jack on Will and Grace? Did I get that character? I've watched 1 second of that show.
Work.
Boom.
Neither Will nor Grace.
Yeah. But I pulled Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I pulled Jack last night, too, and I'll tell you what.
Hey,
Glug.
Home Alone, I guess.
What's that?
Home Alone you were then.
Thank you, Yoda. Is that Yoda talking about jerking off? Home Alone you were. All right, hey, it's time for this.
It's the ladder game, starting with the ladder game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the ladder.
Do you want a water, by the way?
I'm okay.
Thank you.
All right, now we're all trying to match Elliot, which is why I didn't do the Around the Horn song.
Sure.
We'll hear that in a moment. First up in the letter game is our guest, J.B. Ball.
Mm-hmm.
The letter is G, $20 on the line.
He immediately had a thought. I was very impressed because a lot of times people are like, oh, I can't think of anything. He knew it within a second. He was like, I'm in, locked, loaded.
I think there's two go-tos, and I'm interested to see if this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I almost want to get a side bet of what his is going to be with you.
Based on what you have learned about me
as
a human being and a Tim Anderson.
Yeah,
I haven't changed my belief in what you're, because I think
write down what you think his is.
Okay.
Because if he doesn't take it, I probably will.
Well, so will I. I'll take mine anyway, if mine makes it to me. Okay. No, I'm not looking.
Oh, okay.
I folded mine up.
I see what you're saying.
We'll reveal.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead.
And Jay Bleedball.
The prompt is horror or sci-fi movie.
Horror or sci-fi.
And or.
Yep. All right.
That's correct. You're up, sir.
Gremlins.
Ooh, nice.
Jimmy part. No, oh, no, you had me bleeding for a second.
That is one of my three, but it's not the one I thought you were
going
to say.
This is not.
What are we going with?
Then I'm going to go with the one I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm unfortunately maybe sound like vaguely racist for thinking you were going to say this. Mm-hmm. Get Out.
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't going to say other. Then I'm going to go. I'll go
the
with
to me, the best horror movie of the last decade.
Oh, I think Get Out is definitely better than Gremlins.
Oh, I disagree.
But
you're trying to match him. It's not about what's one. But I just feel like
I would be more excited to rewatch Gremlins. Get Out doesn't have the rewatchability for me.
You like that gizmo?
Yeah. Well, I think it's such a fun concept. I just think the fact that people... You ever seen a horror movie that's so good at another genre that people forget it's a horror movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's part of the skill of it, right? So I would argue The Cable Guy is a horror movie, and people don't realize that. It's literally classified as a horror movie because it is. Jim Carrey's so funny that they're not seeing... The horror
is
of
Jim
it.
Jim Carrey funny?
Yeah.
I think we went there thinking he was going to be funny, and he wasn't. And it was
don't
it is definitely.
You want somebody to love? Like that whole thing? Come on, man.
I think it's creepy.
I was 7 years old.
You were a child.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I was easy to please.
It was creepier. I think from our age, like the ages we were when it came out, it's like he's coming off of The Mask and
heat checking his ass off.
Yeah. And you're like, here comes another hilarious. And it's way darker
it's
than anyone thought it was going to be. And I think people are a little disappointed.
It's good.
I think the casting of Jim Carrey is what throws off the horror.
Yeah.
Right? I think he is super funny. Go back and watch the basketball scene. It's front to back hilarious.
I still
that whole sequence is super funny.
My friends and I still do that.
Yes, exactly.
The medieval times. Scene.
Have you ever been, by the way?
I have.
Dude, me too. Yeah,
it's great.
It's great. It's awesome.
It's so great.
Yeah.
That'll be a joy when you bring your son when he's like five or six.
Can't wait.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep. I always thought I would see the commercials growing up and like, who the fuck would go to see that? And then you go and you go, you know what? I'm rooting for the red guy.
Like, you're totally invested.
I'm all in on yellow?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's so easy to buy in.
Yeah. And it's fun.
They do a great job.
I went Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to call.
Sci-fi. Okay. Sorry, I was thinking through horror brain. So I was just like, is it? Okay, yeah.
Sci-fi.
No, Ghostbusters was great as well. I will also argue more rewatchability than Get Out. And I still say Get Out is the best movie of all of them, right? But Get Out is so much about the reveal of the secret that once you know it, the rewatchability doesn't have the same effect.
But what about the fact that Ghostbusters sucks? How does that make that one?
In what world?
Oh.
Does Ernie Hudson joining the Ghostbusters purely because he has bills to pay? So that's one of my favorite
scenes
I've ever seen in my life. As a kid, I didn't know, like... Okay, so when you're a kid and you're watching comedies, right? Children's comedies. The one thing that they don't do as a punchline is take the piss out of something, right? It's the one angle of a joke that they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time I could remember somebody taking the piss out of a premise.
Yeah.
Where they went, he's not motivated to do this for any of the reasons that matter. I just need a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess you could apply for that too. Like, it took the total piss out of everything that mattered in that movie. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a cool
that
technique.
That is a funny idea.
You haven't talked me into rewatching it.
I mean, that's on you, dude. Like, I'm one of those people where, like, I'm never going to try to convince you to do anything you don't want to do. It's your life.
You forced me to put money on Future.
You're missing out. Force.
He gave you the opportunity.
Force. I just asked you who you wanted.
You forced me to put money on Future. I've just lost my, just checked my stock portfolio.
So now.
I also think it's so much more detrimental for Future to lose that fight. Russell Wilson could lose that fight, and he is no different in life.
Right.
Future loses that fight, his career is over.
Yeah.
And so the stakes are so high.
Well, yeah, he's going to be hungrier. Sure. Like, he's going to be more motivated.
He has to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now it's time for this. Ready?
Cross-legged on the floor.
Now we get push up. Okay, this is that. This is that.
Okay. Jimmy goes around the
hall. Can I ask, have you ever had a contest?
Who is talking over the music? Is that how you get a raise, JB?
I'm sorry. To be fair, I was super intrigued with another creative thing you
Oh, yeah, talking. Go ahead. Well, something about our show? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was really excited about this. So, like, yeah. This artwork you have on the wall here, mm-hmm. obviously, like, they are themed based on different marketing schemes, right? Or different logos or whatnot.
Different seasons and different, yeah.
And logos from the past years.
I love the idea of that. I was like, have you ever had a contest to see who can guess what they are parodying?
Ooh,
I would love it if you had every guest try to go through it and see like who can get the most.
I mean, they're not all parodies, so that's. But
oh, is that part?
But the ones
I just
that are,
some of them I didn't know.
Yeah, no, some of them are not straight parodies.
Because look, obviously 7-Eleven, I recognize, yes. Right?
Guess again.
I'm going season 12 is The Price is Right.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right. I see NPR there. The NNF.
Oh, that's interesting.
Looks like NPR to me. Is that? Am I wrong?
I don't know if it.
A fan made that. We don't know what his inspiration was, but I don't know. Yeah.
The one under that, I'm assuming, is Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you were talking about that one. Oh no, that was made by a designer. I don't know
the one with the star.
Above that.
Above that is what I thought was NPR.
Yeah, I don't know if that has a specific inspiration.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
There is.
I know what I want to think, but I'm going to go against it. So when I'm looking at one to the right.
Which one?
Of the one I thought was NPR. So second row all the way to the right.
What do you think that is?
Yeah.
Because that is very specific.
That is specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my.
Are you on this camera wise, by the way?
I'm doing the best I can.
Sorry.
And this is before you're young. You're younger than this thing is. So
okay,
it'll be impressive if you know it.
Okay. I wanted to say Spaceballs.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not Spaceballs.
Okay. It older?
I will tell you.
Older.
Much older and not comedy related.
Oh, yeah. Really? Ooh.
It's pretty random.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that. I don't want to hold up your time.
That was the opening credits to Kojak.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy went through a big Kojak phase. Watching it obsessively.
Yeah. I don't know about Kojak in reference.
What is beneath that? Season 19 there. What do you think that is?
That I know I've seen before, but I don't know.
That is Milwaukee Tools.
Yeah.
You got the two White Sox ones, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one next to Hamilton to the left?
No clue. I was going to ask about that.
It's American Airlines.
Yeah.
From the
old, is that?
The old American Airlines.
60s when did they change that?
69, 72, somewhere early.
Well, why is it an eagle attacking something? Like I don't
it's
like
attacking the planet.
Yes. Like my whole thing is like, well, don't show it going down. It's about y'all going up.
That's fair.
How about the red one all the way at the end?
Oh, this is very that's
no clue.
A little more
current.
That was very much in the zeitgeist for a year of our lives.
Yeah, in 2017, maybe. I can't remember.
They
what
are trying to get back into that zeitgeist. Yeah. Daily,
keep trying.
It's pretty obscure, but
that's a movie pass.
Remember movie pass?
Yes. Okay. All right. I see you working.
That was the card, the membership card.
And then the biggest one is the band Chicago. That is a parody of their 10th album.
Never heard of them.
They're a popular band out of Chicago.
1,000% joking.
I know. JP, I'm playing along with you.
Okay, my bad.
I'd have to be the dumbest man. You've never heard of Chicago?
No, well, so here's the thing. Is like I am a black man who was raised in the intersection of cultures, right? So I know a little bit of everything, but not a lot of anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so I run into a lot of cases where like I will know quote unquote white things and people think I'm making it up. And I go, no, I know who the fucking Arctic Monkeys are. Yeah, I'm aware.
That's more than I know.
That's a great example.
I don't know if I can. You could play them right now. I wouldn't know it.
Perfect example.
It's perfect. All right, Garen, what's going on in your world? Everything all right?
Yeah.
I like the fact that Elliot finally got the camera set and we're done with it.
Well, that was it. That's all of them. All the other ones are just
that was it. I was setting it back to where it's supposed to be.
Very good.
Love it.
What's going on, Garen?
Nothing. I think I'm caught up on the floor.
Yeah. We're caught up. We didn't watch last night.
I'm not caught up.
Oh, I don't think I watched last.
Did you watch last week?
Last night's.
Do you know about The Floor?
I don't.
It's a game show that Rob Lowe hosts.
Okay.
And it's basically just two people going, scissors, stapler. Like just looking at pictures and naming whatever the thing is. It's the most basic game ever.
Oh, okay.
But it's weirdly entrancing.
I think I just saw a clip of him podcasting talking about this show, how he has to shoot it overseas.
They shoot it in Ireland.
Yeah.
He's got a tough life.
Yeah.
So the one
interesting that it's called The Floor and Rob Lowe hosts it. It's like the one thing he won't let his face touch. It's just all the plastic surgery. It's like, we're not going down there. We're going up.
The last one I saw was the guy from Mallrats or whatever from Clerks finally
Jason Lee.
Like no, there's a do you know the
see I told I know why things
you know that is a very
I love Kevin Smith
you know so you know Clerks
yeah
you know Dante
yeah Brian O'Halloran
Is that his name? Yeah.
Boom!
He's on.
Is that right?
He's a contestant.
Is he in it?
Got it.
He's in it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so he.
And you're rooting for him.
One of the things that happens on the floor is that if you hold the most squares on the floor at the end of an episode, you get $20,000. And he went on an insane run where he won the $20,000 for basically doing almost nothing for like 6 weeks, I think.
You ready for this? And he wasn't even supposed to be there.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, this guy, he's not even supposed to be there. And he's got all this money.
Yeah. So he won like $100,000 just from standing on a floor.
That's awesome.
But anyway, the one I just watched is that other guy finally. There was the one episode where they tied and they both got 10 grand. And then the one after that is what I just watched, where this other guy took over and got 20.
I don't
20.
Know how many far back that is.
I might be two back.
Wait, yeah. Can I ask a question about the Brian O'Halloran episode? Yeah. Was that a celebrity episode, or is he not considered a celebrity?
No, he's just a guy there.
He's just a guy there.
He's a guy.
But they acknowledge that he's from Clerks.
Oh, okay.
And there's two people who are on
Bachelor.
Big Brother. But yeah,
and
something.
There's a girl that was on The Amazing Race with her dad.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one I just saw, that she got up there and
lost. Okay, so you're one behind that.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me tell you, if you're a Big Brother fan, you're going to want to see my special, Jesus in a Crack House, on YouTube right now. Everybody's favorite bit is actually me doing commentary about something that happened on Big Brother last season. And everybody who knows it is like, oh my God, he knows what happened. Just trust me.
All right.
It is incredible.
It's on YouTube.
So controversy on Big Brother right now.
Oh, no.
Celebrity Big Brother.
Who
cares? Mickey Rourke.
Oh, yeah. Who is it?
Mickey Rourke.
And
JoJo Siwa.
Yeah. What happened?
Oh, no.
He used a slur.
Oh, no.
What? He did?
That's always the Big Brother scandal.
That's a no-no Siwa.
Yeah. Like, she broke down. Like, it was.
Oh, shit.
What did he say without saying it?
Well, she's gay.
Yeah.
And she has
a
non-binary partner. And he just, he was like, where's the smoke room? I need a.
Okay, wait. Let's play the letter game again, and let's try to figure out which slur.
I'm joking.
Yeah, he.
The F one.
At one point, he said
a British cigarette.
Yes.
Oh my god.
At one point.
Oh my god.
It's not British. What is he doing?
They're in the UK. Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother.
But that doesn't mean you can fly overseas and just start throwing.
Defending him. I'm not by any means.
Yeah.
It was very weird. Like, I don't know what he was trying to do, and then he apologized. Like, sometimes I just go off the handle. I'm like, you guys were having, there was no handle. You shouldn't have been on the handle. Are you flying off of it? Nothing was happening that you should have even. It was very weird. And he, at one point, he's like, I'll tie you up or something.
Wait, what's up?
Wait, what?
It was very
more
even,
problematic.
I would say,
it's bizarre.
I have never needed more context to a story.
Yeah, you just have to watch it. Because even me trying to stumble my way and explain what he's, I can't. Because it's so kind of sporadic and. Like, I don't even know if he was trying to be homophobic or if he was just...
I'm guessing he wasn't, based on the context
that he's
you've given us.
Nuts also, right? He seems very crazy.
Yeah, and speaking of plastic surgery, good God.
I disagree. Yeah. He looks great.
He looks like a soaking wet cabbage patch doll now. It is unfortunate.
He does look like they put skin on a Muppet.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's like, why are y'all... Just go back to the fabric. Yeah. This is weird what you're accentuating. He looks like... Like if a caricature came to life,
like the boardwalk guy,
Whatever they over accentuate on you,
he would be
like
the only character
that's actually had it.
Yeah, like
he's the closest thing to Elephant Man we've created.
He would be the only guy, as if someone did a caricature of him, it would be less exaggerated than thing.
I don't even know.
I had to tone this down a little.
I feel like it's too disrespectful if I do it the right way.
I don't want to insult you, but
so you haven't seen Puppets yet as a category. Get ready for your kindergarten skills to come out.
Oh, I did see in the coming up next week, I saw that Ernie was one of the things. So, I saw that coming.
Yeah. It's
fun stuff.
I bought my my son this blanket, and it's Bert and Ernie as the characters from Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
it's John Travolta.
I've seen that drawing.
Yeah, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
So it's just Bert and Ernie with guns pointed at you as the blanket lays over him. It feels like he's protected. There's something to it.
It's a safety blanket. No question about it.
1,000%. I love
it. And does that blanket say bad motherfucker?
It doesn't. I tried to find one that would, and I just can't make it
say
happen.
Say what again?
Yes.
All right, Garrett, what's your guess?
I did not think this was going to make it to me.
Yeah, there's one big one left.
There's one big one left.
And I'm not kind of mad I don't have it. I went with Get Out because I felt like I had to. But
Godzilla.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I think there's another big one, too.
Oh, really?
I do.
Oh, wait.
One that's horror and sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. And rom-commy.
My other one was Graveyard Shift. That was my last follow up.
Do you want to switch it? I would switch it if I were
you. I don't
here.
Know if I. You know, I would. That would be my luck that the randomest Stephen King movie is the one that he.
No, Elliot wants to get picks. Rid of this thing. He's been holding it.
He said Godzilla. I didn't even think about Godzilla. I'm just upset about Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, it definitely counts, but I was ready. I felt like if I said it, I was ready for you to be like, that's a, even though you don't like it, you'd be like, that's comedy. That's not horror.
It's a sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hunting. There is
horror elements
to it. They're busting ghosts.
Yes.
What is the definition of sci-fi? Like, what gets it in there?
I guess
I'm trying to figure out where that threshold is. Okay. Oh, is it just that?
Is that helpful?
Okay, gotcha.
It's science-y, but it's not real.
Yeah.
it takes the ideas of science and extends them into a fictional.
So may I ask, are we going around until we can't do them anymore?
No.
Now
we're going to find out what our fans are going to get. They all guessed online, and we're going to hear what they think.
May I throw one more in there
as a
question? That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
So where does the Goonies fall?
I don't think that counts.
Can I make a case why it's in there? Because Sloth.
I think he's a horror.
Is 1,000% horror in science fiction. That character is why I was like, where's the threshold on this?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say sci-fi because of Kiwa, whatever Juan's character has all the gadgets.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
So that's a slightly sci-fi, but not really.
Yeah, I get you. All right, can I tell you a great Sloth story before you move on?
Sure.
This is great. Okay, so I went to the university. I'm talking too fast. I went to the University of Tampa. All right. Now, the University of Tampa is weirdly prestigious in history, but people don't know about it. Right. So the guy who played Sloth is a guy named John Matusak. John Matusak played in the NFL for a number of years. Mm-hmm. He was a raging cokehead. This is the peak of you do drugs to play here, right? Mm-hmm. The way defensive player, all big hits, all dirty plays. John Matusak is a legend in that you don't want to play John Matusak. Played for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's been to jail. This is a story that was told to me. I've not fact checked this, but it's been told to me by multiple sources. John Matusak has been to jail 8 times. All 8 times was because somebody called him Sloth from the Goonies. He despised that role, and he hated that people know that he did it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's one of the more interesting things. I go like, oh, wow, you played an iconic role, and you despise that people know
it. Right. Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, with all the makeup and everything, like, you wouldn't see him and go, hey, that's Sloth. You'd have to know that that football player played that role.
And I think what would happen is people knew that he hated it. So it was a thing for a dude to try to mess with him.
Wow.
Right. And so he would just fight him at a bar and then he'd get locked up again.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love it.
Every time I see it, I go, oh, John.
And is he still with us?
No, he's passed away. Yeah.
Hey, Elliot, what's going on with you?
Hello.
Before we get to the fans.
Sure. Not a heck of a lot. I reorganized my silverware drawer. Very, very happy about it. Mm-hmm. The standard organization of the silverware drawer, the things that you get, they're not good enough. There's a lot of wasted space. What? So I made a custom one.
Talking about the dividers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I made a custom one. And
out of what?
Well, there are these other kind of dividers. They're plastic that they're kind of like combs, and you can kind of slot them into each other.
Sure.
So I took those. I had to cut them a little bit to fit the drawer. And then we had that for a little while, but then the knives would slip under the plastic because it wasn't heavy enough. So I worked out that if you take some really thin craft foam that you can get at, I got it at Joann's going out of business, and I got some of that. You put that in there in like a little sling, and that holds it all in there. And very proud of it.
I think this is proof that everyone's a rebel in their own way. And that this is what he chose to rebel against.
You're very nice to try to find comedy in what he just did.
You hit a new low, man.
If that is not a t-shirt we immediately print, it's Elliot's face. Everybody's a rebel in their own way.
Some people are fighting for human rights.
Yeah.
You know, some people just want their pension. And Elliot's like, listen, man, silverware. The war's been going on for years. And no one's doing anything. I found
a solution.
With great power comes great responsibility, and someone needs to step up and do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do with that extra space now that you've you said it was there was wasted space in the drawer?
Well, so
why did I follow up?
I know. I cannot believe it. I had so many questions that I wasn't going to ask because I do not want this to go on any longer.
Now all the silverware now is in one drawer instead of two. That's what
you got
comes
a lot of silverware.
To.
That's a lot of silverware. Yeah.
Well, you got your two different kind of forks. You got two different kind of spoons. I got three different kind of knives because there's the little butter knives and then there's the regular.
How many little butter knives do you have?
Four of each of everything. I used to have more, but whittled it down and still not enough space.
Well, I'm proud of you. That's Thank exciting. You. That's great mm-hmm. news.
I realized something recently here. It's related, believe it or not. When my old roommate moved in, we had tons of silverware, like tons of silverware. And he went through and whittled it all down and then donated a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And then he moved out. And that's when I noticed everything that we whittled down and got rid of was mine.
Yours.
My silverware
that's great.
Is now just, none of it matches, which whatever. But like two spoons, a fork, 15 knives. it's all janky. I don't know what to do.
Can so I, it's like you got a practice run of being married, man.
Right, well.
It's like, oh, yeah, all right, I've been through this.
Divorced.
I can do that. Oh, Max, yeah, that's a great point.
I feel like I'm gonna suggest and empower you to throw all that in the trash, go to Kohl's or whatever, and just buy a $20 set of
I thought you were going to be like, go back to Goodwill and go get your old silverware.
Go get my old silverware.
That could work, too, yeah.
Did you see the GC on the back of that spoon? That's mine.
Oh, yeah.
He puts his initials on all of them. All right, give us the fans.
All right, sure.
Congratulations on that drawer, man.
Thank you.
What's this now?
Wait, no, that's the wrong thing.
Wrong. Abort.
There we go.
There it is. There it is. Don't get paid. Speaking of sci-fi, Back to the Future.
That's right.
Gonna go back. First up, the winner. What's this? What do fans think? Well, all right, let's find out what the fans do think of.
All right, so there's only 9 in here.
That seems like enough.
Number 9, Grave Encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Me either.
There's two of us.
Number footage movie.
Was that?
Found footage.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
Number 8, Gravity.
Yeah, I thought of that. The Sandra Bullock. I mean, I guess it's sci-fi, but it's also just like we do have astronauts, right?
Yeah, well,
astronauts
it's hard sci-fi.
But yeah, it's
sci-fi.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's George Clooney, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Number 7, Gattaca.
Yeah.
Might be an Elliot pick too.
I wondered that too, especially because
what is it? I didn't hear it.
Gattaca.
I still have one that I'm like, if they don't get it, I'm going to be so upset.
Right. I think Gattaca was. It was definitely Ethan Hawke, maybe Jude Law,
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, it takes place in the future, and they're basically like they've genetically engineered.
It's like DNA
procreation,
stuff, right?
So that like that there's like no child will be born imperfect. Every child is perfect. Because they're all being made in a lab. No one's allowed to procreate normally.
But then how are they perfect? They weren't made with love.
Yeah, you raise a very important ethical question that I think that this movie tries to tackle. I don't know if they succeeded, but they definitely tried to.
Fair enough.
Go ahead, sir.
All right, next up, Ginger Snaps.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, no, that is a horror movie. I just looked this up the other day.
What? Okay. Why?
Well, I was writing a bit where I was doing puns on horror movies. And so I was trying to see, what else is out there? What else fits? Mm. And then I saw Ginger Snaps. I was like, that's a thing? That's why this whole deep dive into it.
Yeah. What is it? What is it?
Ginger kids that are snapping.
Oh! Is that the tagline?
Straight up what it is. No, it should have been.
Oh, so kids that are snapping.
Redheads are
real quick.
Yeah. These kids got rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
Redheads on a rampage.
It's a werewolf movie.
It is?
Canadian werewolf movie, yeah.
Oh, it's from Canada? We're mad at them. I'm not watching that.
Probably costs more to watch.
Can't afford it now.
Yeah. Those assholes stay up there. Although Neil Young is doing a show this Saturday. He's part of the Bernie and AOC rally. Oh, so okay. Show is a strong word. He's talking and doing a song.
Is he going to be selling his MP3 player?
Yeah.
What was the name of that thing?
Pongo or something? Or Ponyo? No, that's a movie. That's a Japanese
anime.
That's
from the T.
Oh, what was the name of that thing?
Tanyo.
It's not that.
Tanyo Harding.
Pano.
That's
Pano.
The Pano player. The Pano player.
It sounds better than anything else. It's also the size of a brick. Nobody can carry it.
Yeah, it doesn't fit
nice
in the pocket.
Neil.
Put it in your backpack.
He was the dopiest of the dope heads on Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, he was?
I don't know if that's true.
I would have guessed Crosby.
I think it was Crosby.
He seemed very dopey.
I think it was Crosby.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Gojira. Godzilla.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Original spelling. That's how they say it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
That's the Japanese words, and Godzilla is the Americanized version.
What?
Original spelling.
I mean, it's in Japanese characters, but.
May break your other arm.
100% accurate statement. Uh-huh. Just. Oh, where's
so
the
funny. So funny.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest was my answer.
Oh, I wanted to say that.
That was it.
That's another one. It is sci-fi, but it also... I get confused with these comedies.
I think you could put it in any category.
Sure, it's definitely comedy.
It's your guess. Definitely
in what sci-fi. World is it not sci-fi?
No, it's definitely sci-fi.
Oh, it's definitely sci-fi. And it's definitely comedy.
It's definitely comedy, yeah.
But I put it up there with Rat Race in that I think it is one of those comedies where that is such a beautiful premise and it's such great execution of a beautiful premise. And I think not enough people have given it its flowers. Agreed. That movie is so funny.
It's really funny.
And it's loaded with people you'll recognize. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe not at the time. Like, if you really look at, like, how more careers had blossomed since then, you're like, oh, this was loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those ones. Yeah.
Who else is in it?
So, Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
Tim Allen. Tony Shalhoub.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, yeah. I'm trying to think of... What's the guys who play... The guy who plays Guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember his name now.
Is this Sam Rockwell?
Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell's in it before Sam Rockwell's like a thing.
Right, hurry before those things kill Guy.
Yeah. it's just such a great moment. Dodgeball, the guy who can't dodge anything. He gets hit by the wrench.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm forgetting his name, but he's the star of the movie Accepted. He was in Waiting. Is it Justin something?
Oh, Justin Long.
Justin Long.
Yes, that's right. He's the kid. He's kind of like the Wesley Crusher.
Like, you look through it and you go like, oh, they caught a number of people early.
Yeah.
This is actually, it's way more loaded than you think.
Wow.
So yeah,
great movie. I was actually just thinking about that movie, like wondering if my kids would like it. When your kids get to a certain age, you start to try to make them watch the movies you love.
Totally.
And then in my case, mostly they don't.
Yeah, I get that.
But
are they familiar with Star Trek at any level? Yeah.
They know it exists, but that was the question. We talked about this. Maybe we talked about this recently. That, like, do you need to know the whole phenomenon of Star Trek to appreciate that movie? I don't think you do, actually.
I don't think you do. I just think you need to know that they are making fun of Star Trek and fandom.
But, yeah, it's more about just general sci-fi fandom or just sort of, like, the idea that sci-fi exists, people make these things, and then they become famous for them, and then it kind of ruins their life sometimes.
Totally.
And then they have to sort of live with it. But it's such a great twist. That's just the jumping off point. It doesn't really matter.
But they play into a couple tropes where it's just like, well, if you know about that, that's cool that they did it that way. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Especially Rickman's character.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. We're not gonna appreciate that guy. Like, I know he's gone. I don't think he gets enough credit.
Harry
Potter
fans
seem to appreciate him. Alan Rickman is iconic, and we don't talk. Like, I think we celebrate Ian McKellen more than Alan Rickman, and I think they're more on par with each other, at least. Like, I think we haven't elevated Alan enough. And I think when you do a children's franchise, I think in some people's eyes, it demotes you because they're not partaking in the children's franchise, so they don't have any sense of how big you got.
Yeah,
because you're big to this other generation, right?
But didn't Ian McKellen do a children's?
He did Lord of the Rings, right? Yeah. But I would argue Lord of the Rings, you could get over that it was for more than children. Whereas Harry Potter is a thing like you grew up with, you know.
But the people who grew up with it, like, they worship him. They worship everything about it. But
Alan Rickman's incredible.
Like, that's all they.
And they've never seen Die Hard,
right? I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's like. He's had.
I know, in
the same way that Kobe has like two Hall of Fame careers. Yeah. Like, you can really divide it up.
Yeah.
I think you can make the same case for Alan Rickman, where, like, you can really separate eras of Alan Rickman, and they're both great in their own ways. You're like, this dude matters. Dogma is one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
You are a big Kevin Smith fan.
Dude, he's great. He's the Metatron. Dude, he's great.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
That was the first movie I saw when I moved to L.A., Dogma.
Dogma? That's the first movie I saw on Netflix, like back when you had to get the DVDs mailed to you.
I might still have it.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I caught up on Kevin Smith. I was like, this was so good. I got to watch the rest of these things.
And that's the first Kevin Smith that I didn't see.
Dogma?
That is it.
To this day, still haven't seen it.
No.
Comedy standpoint, do yourself a favor. It's so funny.
Yeah.
There's so much great commentary.
I know him. I know he's not going to
lie. I saw the trailer.
Chris Rock falls to Earth.
Chris Rock from the spaceship stripper place.
It's not Chris Rock. I promise.
Thought I could catch you, but I didn't say it fast enough.
Chris Rock does a bit. I was like, bro, that's so great. Where he falls to Earth to help them on their quest. This is a religious-based premise. And his character is that he is the 13th apostle named Rufus, who was left out of the story because he's black. And his big thing is that Jesus still owes him $30. And the way he plays to that is just such a fun wrinkle to the story. It's just they're doing these slight little commentaries to religion that you go like, it doesn't hurt anything to say that. That's just a really funny thing. Like, what if it was that, you know? So I do think they're playing with a really fun plot hole in the Bible, which is the general premise of the whole thing. And then the little insights, the little nuggets, you just go like, you gotta admit, this is a pretty good point, man. I don't know. Like, what do you think? It's worth a watch.
I like the idea that the Bible has a plot hole.
Just one. There's only one.
There's only one. Yeah. Everything else totally
checks out.
I don't like
you
guys badmouthing my Lord and Savior, but I get it. That's what you guys want to laugh at. You want to laugh at what I, you know, my Sundays. That's fine.
The best, to me, the best thing about
it. That's why you don't know Russell Wilson. That's what you're doing on Sunday.
Church.
All day.
And then I'm at the restaurant afterwards with the rest of the church people.
Yeah. Got it.
To me, the best thing about Dogma, and no offense to the movie you love, please. But when it came out, a lot of Christians were protesting it, and Kevin Smith went to one of the protests and pretended to be one, and they interviewed him on a local news station. And you could find this on YouTube. Look it up on YouTube. It's like, they're like, what are you here for? He's like, I don't believe this movie's right. He's just talking to
That's him. Incredible.
They have no idea who he is, and he's just pretending to be one.
It's like Mel Brooks is outside, like, picketing the producers.
Yeah. So funny.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
All right, finish it up, Billy.
All right, so we just said Galaxy Quest. Next up, Get Out.
Get Out. No, that number Matt three. Said that. Yeah.
Number two, Ghostbusters.
That's what I said.
And The Fans from The Fans, number one, Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Ooh. Okay.
What about the movie Ghost? What about the movie Ghost?
I'm in there.
That's horror. It's sci-fi. It's rom-com.
Is it horror?
Yeah. Dude, the guys are getting taken off by demons.
If I may, he's a ghost.
I admit I haven't seen
Ghosts
it.
Ghosts by default are horror.
Dude. Look up all the deaths.
Is Ghost Dad horror?
Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Not funny.
That's true. It's not a comedy. Absolutely not.
I mean, it's horror now.
Yeah, but that's got a whole different layer. Yeah.
You're like, are we sure we want to bring him back? Maybe let's just let him go.
You know what? Sometimes people die.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of
life.
Very short. It's like 5 minutes long. Oh, well. We lost
I do want to throw this out. Ghost is totally a horror movie. I couldn't be more with you on that.
I'll take your word for it. I guess I haven't seen it. But
go back and look at the scenes where the demons take people off. Because I think that's the thing that's going forgotten. That is absolute horror.
Okay. Yes, the subway scenes are... There's a lot
the
of...
Shadow people or whatever they're called.
Yeah. And then they make... they throw clay.
Yeah.
Throw clay.
Oh, my love. All right, what are yours now?
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Now, this is the money. We want his number one.
This is what counts.
He's going to give us his five.
Well, the first four don't count, and the number one does.
Yeah.
All right, number five.
Yeah.
Gojira.
Fucker.
Japanese spelling.
You're out.
Excuse me. He said Gojira.
Yeah.
I got several Godzilla movies that could possibly fall into it.
Oh,
so.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're out.
Number four.
Yeah.
Gravity.
Mm.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
This is the order I thought of these things in. Gleaming the Cube.
What?
It's a sci-fi.
How?
It's a future. Sci-fi? It's a future dystopia where everybody's on roller skates.
Sir,
no,
I sir. Beg of you to go back and revisit that film.
You're thinking of Rollerball.
No, Rollerball.
Gleaming the Cube is a skateboarding movie with Christian Slater.
He's trying to save his brother from getting murdered or something. Yeah.
Everybody's on skates. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
They're on skates because it's in the 80s.
They're skaters. It's just about skateboarders.
To be fair, I never saw it. But
no shit.
I can't even make fun of you. This is such a horrible idea. They're gleaming the Cube. It was very much of the moment.
This was fucking.
Is it post apocalyptic?
Oh
no,
that made me laugh so hard.
The only thing about it that's not based in reality is that for some reason that no one ever explains, at the end of the movie, he makes a skateboard with corrugated metal instead of grip tape on the top of if you're in like a factory, the floor has the crosshatch metal floor. They put that on top of the skateboard instead of grip tape. And that was supposed to be like
better
badass or something. Oh. It was just like, so you made it heavier and less grippy. What are you doing? This is terrible. But that was the only thing that wasn't based in reality in that movie.
Gleaming the Cube.
Sorry. Well, I based on the name, I thought it was a sci-fi. So either way,
it is a very strange title.
It really is.
No one ever explained. By the way, that movie was written by the guy who wrote The Player.
Oh, wow.
What do you think of that, Jimmy?
you looked at me like you were going to see my eyes, Roger Rabbit out.
Yeah, you don't care about that either. But I love The Player.
I like The Player. Of course.
You wrote the book and the script. So,
and that gentleman's name?
John Tolkien, I think?
Yeah.
No, that's a soccer player. Something Tolkien.
Is it related?
Michael Tolkien.
Related? Is it spelled the same way?
No. T-O-L-K-I-N.
Tolkien?
Yeah.
Number one.
Number two.
Oh, number two. My apologies. Oh, Gleaming the Cube was not number two?
That was number three.
Okay.
Number two, Get Out.
All right. So Get Out's out.
Wait a minute. Gremlins is still on the table, right?
Gremlins is.
So is Ghostbusters. Okay.
Number one.
Yes.
We do not have a winner.
What?
Gattaca.
Jesus,
number
man.
One?
Don't you want?
Oh, wow,
to
that was
someone?
The first one I thought of.
But how about this, man? Hear me out. That's the first one you thought of, but you know nobody's going to pick it.
No, I don't know that.
You knew that.
That's not the answer.
Come on,
that's
terrible.
Listen, I will tell you the answer. All right, and no one said it. All right, sci-fi horror movie. The Gatrix. What are we doing? Thanks. I'll see my way out. All right. I'm kidding.
Could you?
I'm kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. Garen, don't even open the door for me.
But Garen did pretty. He did say when that came up, he was like, "That is something Ellie would say." So it's in keeping with his bullshit. But I don't know why you don't want to see if someone guesses, if I try to
predict what you guys are going to pick, you're not going to.
It's
you're not
fucking
gonna pick
one of four gigantic.
I never would have picked Ghostbusters, and I never would have picked Galaxy Quest because they're comedies. I understand that they are also these other thing. I didn't think of Ghost as a horror.
But Get Out and Godzilla, two huge movies.
Yeah,
Godzilla
and Gremlins.
So you're saying if you saw a ghost, you wouldn't be scared? You'd just be like, hilarious.
No. I'm saying with Ghost, I think of Ghost as a romance first.
Fair.
Okay.
And I think of Galaxy Quest as a comedy first. They may also have those other things, but if I'm going to give you any clues,
I get you.
Well, Ghost is a romance that murders are taking place in. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. But that doesn't make it a horror. That could make it.
But
an
nobody
action,
said Ghost. But we're talking about Ghostbusters, and we're talking about Gremlins, Get Out. These are big movies.
I might have picked Gremlins, but I wouldn't have picked Ghostbusters or Gravity because I'm going to want bullshit from the other side. Oh, that's a comedy. That's not sci-fi. Whatever.
Tell us more about that drawer.
By the way, in case you guys were curious, Christian Slater's character in Gleaming the Cube defines that as pushing your limits to the edge.
Oh, that's what Gleaming the Cube means.
That guy's really Gleaming the Cube?
He's Gleaming the Cube.
Okay.
Don't you murder a person that says that?
Gleaming the Cube?
It's a new word for what the Mormons are doing.
Gleaming the Cube?
You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we are.
You get what I'm saying?
Cheer yourself up.
All right.
It's I think the story goes that Michael Tolkien was on a lot of cocaine when he wrote that movie.
Facts.
And that would explain it.
Different times.
Yep.
We all did coke back then, man. I didn't. The gentleman's name is J.B. Ball. He's got the new special out, Jesus in the Crack House, which they can find on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
A delight to meet you.
Dude, thank you so much, man. This was a pleasure.
Easy breezy.
That was great.
Comes down from Valencia.
Yeah, here we go.
Right? Drops the mic, gets out.
If I come back, I'm bringing you a Tim Anderson jersey. I'm bringing you one.
I'm good.
I'm bringing you one.
I'm good.
I'm bringing. We're gonna.
I mean this sincerely. Save your money. I don't want to have to fake that I'm excited about it.
I thought you'd put it on the wall. I thought you'd display it to remember the good times. The good times, though, not the bad times. The good times.
Yeah, I got other White Sox jerseys that I that provide that energy for me.
Sure.
Thanks for being here, and everybody, check out the special. It's on YouTube. It's called Gleam of the Cube. I'm hearing very good things about it. He says he's charming with edge, and that describes Christian Slater. You're pushing.
He was charming with edge in that movie. That is an accurate.
That's actually fair. Yeah, yeah.
Name
that's
a
every movie.
He's not
that. I know. That's every movie.
Yeah.
He is a walking Gleaming the Cube.
Yes.
He's a cube gleamer. I mean, thanks everybody for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for supporting the program. Truly appreciate it. On behalf of the Pop Culture Breeze, there he is, Garen Cochran. On behalf of Video Village, Elliot Hoper, the Honcho Map Belt, our new friend JB Ball. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, gone, not forgotten.